Thank you, Rob. It's a download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Beautiful, beautiful night in Chicago. Michigan Avenue is buzzing in one of our last broadcasts here on beautiful Michigan Avenue in our Allstate Showcase studio. We still got a couple weeks, I believe 2 weeks or so left in this space, but it was sad to watch the movers pack up our stuff in the download office today around us. You moving that? You moving that? No, I need this. He seemed to give me attitude when I didn't want to move my John Lennon poster. He's like, are you moving this one? I'm like, nah, that was brought here with this idea that it needed to leave the house, and it's the New York City t-shirted John Lennon poster that everybody has from college, and it made its way here because it's on its last leg, and was the end of it. So you want to move it? No, I don't. Let's save it for the luxury condos here at Trib Tower. Yes, we've pretty much moved to our new space across the river here on Wacker Drive. That's where our offices are going to be at. And right now we are still broadcasting out of the Showcase studio, but I believe it's the last studio standing, right? That's pretty... I feel like it's like the last stand. You know, everyone gets into the last room and then they hunker down like there are 18 people in here today getting ready to do these broadcasts. I'm excited about it, though. It's camaraderie, you know? Chance to see everybody, not just Pete and I. That's this all the time. Great show lined up tonight. Excited to talk with the CEO of Paper Source, great stationery papery in Chicago that started in 1983. Today it has over 100 stores nationwide. Talk about growing the brand, the challenges of taking the brand outside of the Chicago market, and making sure that Paper Source doesn't end up like every third storefront in the mall. How do you keep your store to be authentic, special, and to keep that, I don't know what it is, that feel that you get when you walk into a store, especially in Chicago, especially in some of the original locations on the north side, in the River North? Talk with Winnie Park. She's the CEO of Paper Source. She's my guest tonight on the Download on Chicago Business. It's coming up at 7:30. 8 o'clock tonight, John Wasik is going to be here. John is a Rhodes Scholar for the state of Illinois, celebrating the bicentennial. The state of Illinois has created this Rhodes Scholar program, several Rhodes Scholars representing different areas. John, who is a longtime author, who wrote the book on Nikola Tesla, is the Rhodes Scholar for Innovation. He's going to be in studio tonight, my guest at the big table, to talk about how Chicago, and really the state of Illinois, is way overlooked when it comes to innovation in the United States. There are a number of Nobel Peace Prize winners that came from the state of Illinois. There's a number of inventions from John Deere all the way down the line to what's happening today in the tech incubators that seems to always be overlooked by the coast, whether it be what's happening in New York or Boston or Silicon Valley on the West Coast, but that the state of Illinois doesn't get its due when it comes to innovations in this country. So we'll talk with John about that coming up at the big table tonight. It's at 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock, Mark Carmen joins me. Tonight, the kickoff of the NBA Finals. Just how far are we? As the Chicago Bulls fans and Bulls organization, how far are we from the glory? As the LeBron-led Cleveland Cavaliers play their fourth straight NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors. Where are we? I mean, are we on our way back from a rebuild? Are we starting? Is the chance that we'll see the Bulls in a good position to be competitive in the short term? Those are the questions we'll ask as we are on the eve of what I think it was June 3rd, 1998, was game one of the NBA Finals, the final run for Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls as they beat the Utah Jazz in that series in six games. But can you believe it? It's been 20 years. Ugh. Wow. Well, we'll have those conversations. And then, as you heard, Chicago Accent Challenge, Ted McClellan is back. If you think you got a great Chicago accent and you want to show it off with a couple of really challenging questions like, welcome to Portillo's, can I take your order? Or tell us how you got here tonight. That's one of my favorites. If you've got the chops and you feel like you've got the accent, you can not only win a pizza tonight, win the challenge, but you also are entered into the grand prize challenge, the blood sport of Chicago accent challenges, on stage live in Chicago later this year, and the grand prize is $333. 312-981-7200. We'll do that in the 10 o'clock hour. News, weather, and traffic tonight with Rob Martier, Esmeralda Leon. Production provided by Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman, and this is The Download, a show about Chicago starring those who know it well. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back, and do the carryout. So stay with us. It's The Download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Let's carry out. All right, here today's top stories. Springfield passed a budget. What? What? Hold on. Did someone fact check this? Is this old? Can we stop the presses? Are we sure we aren't reading headlines from 2013? Just want to check the byline. Yeah? Well, huh? Seems accurate. For the first time in Governor Rauner's term, Springfield passed a state budget by the deadline. It passed the Senate last night, the House today, and the governor said he's going to sign it. Let that sink in. They did their job. Now they get 6 months off. I thought it'd be more fulfilling, though. You know? No new taxes, but some cuts that I'm sure nobody's talking about now, but they'll be crippling. But who cares? They passed something! And then the House ratified the Equal Rights Amendment to make Illinois the 37th state to approve the measure first introduced, 40 plus years ago. Don't hurt yourself patting yourselves on the back there. Also, how is anyone against this? Is this the argument? Hey, we all love equal rights, but why put it on paper? It's a waste of ink. But I guess you can make arguments about what the amendment could do if applied to big ticket issues, namely abortion, but nobody should be against this. It was drawn up for a reason. In the 70s, some dudes wanted to discriminate by sex. For the most part, that hasn't changed. And if it has, then sign it. Who cares? The big issue here is that a pretty important issue was hijacked by politics. You get Republicans on the hook opposing this, and they'll turn it into colorful mailers. Summer mailers, just in time for the summer mailer season. Another lawmaker in Springfield being accused of harassment, Representative Lou Lang, a longtime Democrat, being accused of inappropriate behavior from an activist. She alleges that Lang touched her inappropriately and said weird stuff like, "Does your husband know how lucky he is to have a wife like you?" Ugh. She said after she rejected him, he blackballed her and her medical marijuana activism. Lang immediately defended himself and resigned from a leadership position in the House. He also called for an investigation, saying that the activist is retaliating against him because he wouldn't give the profiteers priority over patients in the medical marijuana bill back in 2013. Trib went out of their way to say this was not sexual harassment. I mean, I don't know if that where the line is. When I read the article today, they said verbal abuse and intimidation or retaliation. That line, does a husband know he's lucky to have a wife like you? And grabbing below the underwear line, that's classic sexual harassment, right? That's like what they teach you in the... And freeze. Did you see it? Did everybody in the room see it?
Yes.
I don't know. But maybe it's not, I guess. President Trump considering commuting former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich's sentence. What? John Williams played some of the Apprentice episode with Blago on it. On his show today? It's so absurdly dumb. I'm talking about, did you not do the research on Harry Potter? It's the dumbest clip. Go look it up. And it's perfect for where we are right now. At any rate, there's so many people in the U.S. prison system with suspect cases against them waiting for help, any help they can get. And the president's talking about Blagojevich and cleaning Martha Stewart's record. Well, this is where we're at. And for Blago, last chance to quote our buddy Jeff Cohen from the Trib. He put this on Twitter today. Jeff literally wrote the book on Blago. This is what he said. The well-worn path of going on Celebrity Apprentice and then patiently waiting for the host to be elected president of the United States to get your federal corruption sentence commuted after that president publicly misstates what the sentence is on Air Force One? Textbook. That's so good. In weather? Hot in the city. But I can't stay mad at you, Chicago. Going to be 60s tomorrow. Wow. In sports, the Cubs and Jose Quintana hoping to take a bite out of the Big Apple. Showdown with the Mets. Scoreless right now going into the fifth. What's a Met? Whenever the Mets play. Hopefully the Mets still have Wally Backman on the squad. Classic Met. That's what I think a Met is, Wally Backman. Jason Hayward hitting lights out on this road trip. He's hitting second in the order tonight. Cubs, let's see. They're in sole possession of second place right now, but find themselves 4.5 back of the Brewers, who will be at guaranteed rate tomorrow night. If the Sox could muster up some civic pride and beat up on the Brew Crew, that'd be swell. Also, enough of the Pirates, right? They had a mini fight every time we play them. A little mini fight, a little skirmish, where the bullpen guys run out, but nothing happens. Save it for August and go full-out brawl. This mini fights, yeah, slowing the game down. Also, get this. Cardinals pitcher Alex Reyes made his first start of the year yesterday after missing a year and a half with Tommy John surgery. Did you see this? He pitched 4 shutout innings, and everyone's like, this is the future. The Cardinals look dynamite. And then a little bit later, they said he was out because he sprained his lat. He's back on the DL today and is probably going to miss significant time. Oh! So remember that when you're having a bad day. A year and a half rehab to pitch 4 innings. NBA Finals start tonight. 4th straight year that the Cavs and Warriors meet in the finals. And get this, the 8th straight year that LeBron's been there. That's crazy. And he's only 33 years old. His hairline makes him look 45, but he's actually 33. I mean, most of the time he loses, but still, what a tremendous achievement. Not as tremendous as 6-0, but pretty good. It's kind of annoying to have the same two teams 4 years in a row. What's that say about every other team in the NBA? Just two teams, that's it? Hopefully it's a good series, because with teams like Boston and Houston, this hopefully will be the last run. I just hope the Warriors win it all so that Trump cannot invite them to the White House. Always like that. Bears training camp starts on July 19th. That seems early, doesn't it? July 19th? I always thought it was the end of July. That's probably my favorite time to watch football, because all those fancy rich athletes come to Bourbonnais in their Ferraris, and then they have to stay in pint-sized, probably stinky dorm rooms with like other players. It's so humbling. That would be my speech if I won the Super Bowl. It all started with the mini fridge and the really crappy air conditioning. Shout out to the lunch lady in the comments for hooking me up with that gluten-free pizza. And finally tonight, Sears announced that they're shutting down more stores. The Illinois retailer is expected to close 72 stores, prompting every single one of you to wonder how there are 72 stores left. Come on. We're like a million Sears. That's terrible. That's the carryout for May 31st, 2018. Hey, it's the last day of May. Enjoy it before June comes and ruins it all. All right, coming up, the Download in Chicago Business. Winnie Parks, my guest, the CEO of PaperSource, the great stationery and papery here in Chicago. Talk about going from one store to 100. And what's next? It's the Download in Chicago Business right after the news here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Rob Martier, how are you, my man?
So I heard you during the carryout talk about how the Bears and other NFL teams go to these small kind of little hamlets in their states to have their training camps. But it always cracks me up because they've got like the 52-inch big screen that they yank out. Somehow they pull it out of the Ferrari. I don't know how they get it in there in the first place.
They can play their PlayStation.
In their PlayStations. And I mean, God forbid they go 3 weeks without, you know, the 55-inch TV.
I just love the imagery of 2 6-foot-8, 350-pound linemen having to share those twin beds.
You gonna get the top bunk this time? Giving the old springs on those bed a workout.
Yeah, I know they should. I mean, they do that with Hard Knocks, but I wish they would just spend hours doing a documentary about how they live that life. And you wonder why guys like Le'Veon Bell hold out. You know, they're like, they just don't want to live in dorms for 2 weeks.
I have seen guys bring their own mattresses.
Oh, God. Sounds like so much.
I know. A lot of work.
Yeah. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Thanks, Rob Martier. Mark Carman's going to join us. Talk a little bit basketball. The NBA Finals coming on tonight. Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. I had been promoting Winnie Park, the CEO of PaperSource, but I'll be honest with you guys. I screwed up. I did not see the cancellation email that was sent to me this afternoon. Ah, that's a bummer. I blame it on moving. You know what I mean? Like, you're moving. I don't have my computer, so I'm working off my phone. And it bunched the emails together that were sent by the publicist. You know what I'm talking about on Gmail? And so I saw the one that said, great. And then I didn't see the one that said, oh, you know what? They had a cancellation. They're sorry. Can they move it back? And so I just did all of that. You just heard me talk about it in the crosstalk. You heard me talk about it in the Download in Chicago Business intro. And hold on, they were coming on. I call it moving fatigue. How about that? Is that better? Moving fatigue? Anyway, I apologize. We'll get them on the download. You know I'm good for it. I will get Winnie Park to be on the program, and we'll get the Download in Chicago Business rescheduled and continue with the show. Coming up at 8 o'clock, John Wasik's going to join us, talk innovation. But right now, you know, I'm so interested to see that when you pull up the NBA Finals, that there are so many stories about this being the 20th anniversary of the 98 Finals. The Finals, of course, that included the Michael Jordan six-game series win over the Utah Jazz. And it's unbelievable to think that it's been 20 years since the Bulls had that dynasty. Mark Carman joins us now. Carm on the line to talk about the NBA Finals, to talk about how far the Bulls of now are from getting back to the stage and to walk down memory lane. Carm, thanks for shifting around to join us tonight on the download. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Justin Kaufman. Good to be here. Always happy to shift for you.
Well, this is good because we could do preview as opposed to. So it looks like the Warriors are killing the Cavs, which we're going to do in the 9 o'clock hour. So tonight, before we get to talking about the Bulls, tonight this is the fourth year in a row that these two squads have met up. The Cleveland Cavaliers did a lot of changing their lineup and trying new things to get back to this spot, but the Golden State Warriors have been just a level of excellence, even if they weren't the number one seed in the West. What do you expect from this series? Is this going to be a lopsided series towards the Warriors?
I mean, I think, you know, certainly the safe pick is that it will be lopsided and that Golden State is the better team and certainly the way more explosive team. The question for the Cavs is, can they slow the pace down? Can they get it into a physical, grind you out, and then we've got LeBron James on the other end, you can't stop him game? I think that Houston actually sort of gave a formula because they played so much isolation ball with Harden. So if the Cavs can sort of follow that with LeBron, who's better at it than Harden, then they have a chance if they can play defense. I mean, the Rockets guarded Golden State pretty well. So yeah. Who knows if the Cavs – I don't know if the Cavs can guard as well as Houston. So, but I'm not as – the series is going to be a complete whitewash. There's a little magic going on in Cleveland this season. So I'm expecting a tighter series than most.
Let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, because it seems that LeBron James scoffs at this legacy question and asking him about how he compares to Michael Jordan, and he seems to light up when they talk about the team. He has had quotes in the last couple weeks where he has said, this is team basketball, you learn it when you're playing at 7 years old, the team wins, individuals lose, you guys want to make it all about individuals. How is he when it comes to this Cleveland Cavaliers team? Is he right in the sense that the only way they're going to beat the Golden State Warriors is if they play team basketball?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. Look, last year he averaged, what, close to 40 a game in the series. They lost 4-1, and Kyrie was there, and they scored a ton. So Golden State's like, okay, go ahead, you can score 40, but, you know, we're going to put up 120-some-odd points, and that's just where's the other 80 going to come from? So he needs everybody. There's no doubt. I think he shies away from the Michael talk. One, because he knows he's not as good as Michael. Let's just get that out there, Justin. Let's make sure we have that. that everybody's just is remembering that, even though we've got a lot of recency bias lately in the media. And also, I mean, this is who he is, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy who's in the finals for 8 straight years, 4 with Miami, 4 with Cleveland. And people are bored by the matchup, like, oh, it's Cleveland and Golden State again. This is a totally different Cavaliers team. I mean, it was LeBron and Kyrie. Now you've got Jeff Green running around. It's a totally different feel than they were last year. So I don't And I just don't get that. Like, who doesn't want to see LeBron James play in the finals? I think it's great for the league. And who doesn't want to see the Warriors? I mean, they're the best team of this generation right now.
Let's talk about the Warriors. Obviously, they have such star power. And watching them in Game 7 against the Rockets, and it was tremendous to watch Kevin Durant, who I think, as big of a superstar as he is, he still doesn't get enough credit for just having ice in the veins in the fourth quarter, to watch him just hit jump shots, contested jump shots, with 2 minutes to play, 1 minute to play, as if it's no big deal. It shows you, A, how a superstar is made, and also shows you how far our team is from competing. But Kevin Durant is a special player.
No question. Best offensive player in the game as far as getting his own shot. There's no doubt about it. And last year in the playoffs, he played better than LeBron. At least in the finals, he did. Here's the thing, though. To me, Golden State looked a little bit off, Justin. Like, that series, I didn't think it was going to go seven games, but it did. If Chris Paul plays in Game 7, do the Warriors win the game? I'm not sure. And there was other points in time where Durant was sort of deferring, oddly, like he didn't do in the past. Like, he wasn't owning it as if it was, quote-unquote, his team. So he's great. He's their best scorer, and they've got a lot of scorers. But there's just a little bit of a mojo missing right now with Golden State. They've got that turn it on whenever they want type of thing going on. So, you know, and maybe that won't come. Maybe it won't catch up with them, but it nearly did against the Rockets.
Yeah. Well, tonight, the game one, of course, of the NBA Finals. Mark Carmen on the line with us here, WGN Sports. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. Obviously, 20 years since the last time we were at this stage. But truthfully, how far away are we when we talk about the rebuild and the draft coming up? Could this be a lightning-fast turnaround, or are we talking years of a rebuild on the West Side? Mark Carmen with us here on The Download. Stay with us.
I've been Steph Curry with the shot, been cooking with the sauce, Chef Curry with the pot, boy. 360 with the wrist, boy.
Carm, I've said this many a times on this program. I only like my basketball players if they're referencing rap songs. And right now, we're not getting any Markkanen raps on the West Side yet, I'm sure. The Chicago Bulls, of course, not playing in the NBA Finals tonight. We're talking basketball. Where are we? The NBA draft is coming up. The once again, the Bulls have a lotto pick. Where are we in the rebuild? This season was very forgettable, obviously. Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel here?
I see a speckle of a glimmer of a hope, Justin. I mean, I don't know. Look, let's do this exercise real fast. LeBron James is a free agent at the end of the finals. If you put LeBron on the Bulls, are they the champs in the East next year? I think you can make a pretty good argument that they actually are. I mean, you got a young Markkanen, you've got LaVine who can shoot it, you've got Chris Dunn who can handle it and play a little bit of defense, and you've got the seventh overall pick in the draft. Hopefully you get a real good player. Now, LeBron, of course, is not coming here. So that puts him with every other team in the NBA that doesn't have LeBron. And the Bulls are far, far away. I mean, they've got huge, huge decisions to make with Zach LaVine, restricted free agent. Can they come to an agreement on a contract? What are they paying him? That kind of, you know, that's a money and a long-term play. Can Chris Dunn, their point guard, take a huge step forward next year? A, stay healthy. B, be consistent. C, shoot the ball a little bit better. And same thing with Markkanen. I mean, as far as staying healthy and being on the court, because he did show signs this year, even as a rookie, just breaking down. He had some problems with his back. So to me, that's the only concern with Laurie. I think he's going to be a really good player, but I do worry about his health. And then who are they going to add in? What are they getting at 7? Do they trade up? Because they also have the number 22 pick. I personally love Mo Bamba, and he's going to be visiting the Bulls tomorrow, meeting the media around noon. So maybe we'll have some audio for the station in the afternoon tomorrow. But, what are they going to get at 7? Michael Porter is a guy that might fall there, but he's got a bad back, but also a huge upside. I mean, it's a huge, huge draft for the Bulls right now. But long-winded answer here. I mean, I talked to Pax at the NBA Draft Lottery and asked him, like, well, you know, is it fair to say that you guys won't be back here next year? And he just kind of looked at me like, we very well might be back here next year. You know this, and everybody else does. So, I mean, if they make the playoffs next year, to me, that'd be a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, let's talk about, I obviously just mentioned the draft for free agency. This is supposed to be a heralded class. Kevin Durant, of course, LeBron James, as you mentioned, Zach LaVine shows up in, as a restricted free agent. But there's a lot of players that could actually make a difference on the Chicago Bulls. Are we going to be players, or does that old traditional albatross that's been around our neck where players don't want to come to Chicago still hold true?
I don't believe that. I think players will certainly come here. Depending on where they're at in their careers and they're looking to win. I mean, Clint Capela is an interesting name, restricted free agent for the Houston Rockets, their center, who's, you know, one of the top big men in the game. Somebody's going to offer him a boatload of money, and Houston's going to have some financial issues. How would he look in a Bulls uniform? Not necessarily. I think that would be an upgrade, but would he come? I think if the Bulls were offering by far the most money, he would. You know, dollars at the end of the day are in Houston, they get to come to Chicago. So I don't think, like, Michael's disappointment with Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf, I don't think that plays anymore. It's just, just very hard to get free agents to come when your own team can offer more money in the NBA nowadays, and it's just rare that players in their prime become available. And the ones that do, they, there's a lot of teams offering money. So do you want to come to the rebuilding Bulls? Why would you do that when maybe other teams are closer to winning than the Bulls are?
The Bulls have always had an upside, and the upside has been that they have a loyal following. The audience numbers at the United Center are at the top, if not the top in the NBA. It's always a head scratcher because the Bulls aren't competitive. Do they have to start worrying about that? If they put a product on the court where they're in year two, year three of a rebuild, and they don't get a free agent, is another rookie class that can't finish out games, and we have a similar season where by January we're not paying attention, do the Bulls front office, they got to start thinking about that issue, the issue of attendance and the bottom line?
I think they worry about that. But to their credit, I don't know if it's the swinging seniors or the Dunkin' Donuts race or whatever they've done. I mean, it's unbelievable because, I not only do I watch the people in the seats there, Justin, but I pay close attention to what's going on in the secondary market for tickets. And, there are games during the week when they're playing bad teams where you can get in for, $10 up top and maybe $70 for a box seat. But it hasn't gone to like what I would think it would go to, which would be like $30 to get a box seat and $5 to get in. Like it hasn't hit that level. So this town likes going to Bulls basketball games, at least a certain segment of it. And again, you mentioned 20 years since 1998, they've been to the Eastern Conference Finals once. They won one game. I mean, it hasn't exactly been some 20 years of success here, and people continue to come out. I don't think they can do it in perpetuity, but I don't think they're in any danger right now.
It is interesting to think 20 years as the NBA Finals kick off here, and it is the 20th anniversary of the Bulls beating the Jazz in 1998. To think about where the Chicago Bulls are at after that. I mean, after they win this series, right? Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, all those guys are gone. And this is the beginning of what is a rebuild and another rebuild and a rebuild in here. And then a lucky Derrick Rose lotto ball and another rebuild. How has the franchise done in 20 years? I mean, you just talked about the actual success on the court. But, I mean, are they at the same point of being NBA royalty where people look around the league and think of the vaunted Chicago Bulls?
No, they're definitely not there. I think there's some level of respect for, Chicago's like a great basketball town and Michael Jordan played there and the Bulls of the 90s will always be a thing. But there's also, I think as long as Gar Forman's employed by the organization, there'll be a lot of people in the NBA that will kind of wonder what's going on as far as management is concerned. I think there's more respect for John Paxson because he's more of a straight shooter. But, immediately after Michael, they were a disaster. Then Pax came in there, and that was the Ben Gordon Bulls, and Lou Alding, and that team competed. And then they lucked into Derek, which took it to a whole nother level. And if Derek doesn't get hurt, maybe they win a title or go to the finals, something along those lines. Although they still would have had to get by LeBron James, which is that's a pretty long putt, but maybe they would have done it. And then, since then, it's just, it's been a disaster. But they made a decision when they traded Jimmy and now they're working it back. You know, where it goes from here, I'm highly skeptical, but I think the play overall in trading Butler was the right thing to do. It just they didn't really have a lot of choices at that point, yeah. and you know, there's just really no answers. There's really no clear thing that you could say right now. Well, we know they're going to get there. We don't. We'll see. They got a shot, but it's really up in the air.
Real quick, final question. You know, with the draft and free agency, what's the one position on the court that you think that the Bulls need the upgrade? Where the play.
A wing who can score and shoot and defend, which is a hell of a player. Mikal Bridges is a name out there that you keep hearing, but they need to get more athletic and long on the perimeter. I mean, that's the NBA game right now. The Bulls are short there. I mean, Laurie's he can play on the perimeter, but he can't guard on the perimeter, and Zach's too short to do it. And same thing, and Chris Dunn's too short too at the point guard spot. They need a long wing who can cause a disruption on the defensive end and score the basketball.
There you go. Mark Carmen talking NBA basketball right before the NBA Finals kick off, where the Cavaliers take on the Golden State Warriors. Carm, can't thank you enough for shifting schedule and talking to us tonight on The Download. Thanks, buddy.
My pleasure, Justin. See you, brother.
Thanks, Rob. It is The Download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up a little bit later in the show, the Chicago Accent Challenge. Ted McClellan will be here, 312-981-7200. Another round where you call up and we ask you a couple of very important, very focused questions about your accent so we can suss it out. And if you win, you get a pizza, and you are also entered. It doesn't just stop there. It's like America's Funniest Videos. You win that round, but you go to the grand prize, which is a live stage show. Think tournament, Karate Kid style, but Chicago accents. On stage in Chicago, and the grand prize is $333. It just doesn't get any better than that. That's the best segment going on Chicago radio. Ted McClellan will be here 10 o'clock, so get ready. If you feel like you're listening right now and you say, oh, my family thinks I have a Chicago accent, call in. You could win. All right, that's coming up a little bit later in the program. Well, 2018 marks the 200th year for the state of Illinois. There's celebrations abound. And back in March, it was front page news. One of the ways that the state's honoring the bicentennial is by creating Rhodes Scholars, resident experts who can shine light on all the great things the state has accomplished over those 200 years. Tonight, we talk about one of those areas with one of those scholars. John Wasik is a longtime Illinois author who's penned 17 books, including Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla. In almost all of his books, Wasik talks about innovation. That's his bread and butter. That's at the heart of his lectures surrounding Tesla and, of course, his work as an Illinois Rhodes Scholar. In his travels and speeches all over the state, he talks about 200 years of prairie power and how the land of Lincoln should be better recognized for its part in American innovation. That's our conversation tonight at the Big Table with my guest, John Wasik. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So this is great. I love this. And I did not know that the state of Illinois was doing this to create these Rhodes Scholars to do this. Talk about the experience of being selected and why innovation.
Well, it's quite an honor. But the reason that I chose this topic to talk around the state is because not a lot of people put innovation and Illinois in the same sentence. And it's a tragedy because so much has happened here.
That's amazing when you go down the list of things that have been invented here, the innovations that have changed the way we think as human beings and operate as human beings. It's exhausting, but in a good way, exhaustive, I should say. I mean, where does your interest in innovation come from? I mean, why does innovation pop up in all the books that you've written?
Well, mostly through creativity. I like the creative process. In the Tesla book, I explored how he really visualized what he wanted to do, and then he created it. I've always been a big fan of Leonardo and all the great geniuses. Plus, you know, people who did things that we know about, you know, like John Deere and the plow, McCormick and the reaper. And there's a long list of people in Illinois who just did something they needed to have to do to create something that was useful. Right. So my broad brush is not just creating something useful, but the whole creative process.
So it's all about the process. What do you think it is about the state of Illinois when it comes to the process?
Well, it's a hotbed for creativity. you just go down the list of Nobel Prize winners we have here. Saul Bellow, Ernest Hemingway, a long list of economics geniuses from the University of Chicago. There's an incubator at the Polsky Center at the university. It's happening now. It has always happened. We're in the middle of the country, and we need to create things.
That's really what it comes down to, the necessity.
Right. It's a pragmatic way of thinking about the world. You got to plow the prairie. The prairie's real hard. You can't do it with wood, so you have to use steel. I mean, just simple things like that lead to a whole lot of other things.
Well, I mentioned the idea of prairie power, and that's really at that's the cornerstone. That's the heart and soul of what you're talking about when you talk about your lectures and your speeches around the state. What is prairie power?
Well, it's this idea that we have a tremendous amount of intellectual energy. We have capital, we have, you know, this waterway system, we have an interstate, we have transportation hubs, but it's the power. It's this human capital that drives it all. And we have so much of it here and we don't even think about it.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to do in this hour is talk about the things that we don't even think about. Because you just mentioned several areas that I wouldn't necessarily think, oh, yeah, I guess we have contributed to innovation here in this country through what we do with the transportation hub or what we do with our water and our waterways. But let's start. I mean, when you talk 200 years of the state of Illinois, even in the mid-19th century, you're talking about inventions and innovations that, you know, now we take for granted. I mean, people know when you talk John Deere, even people just know about the tractor. But talk about, what are the early days of inventions that we should be paying attention to as Illinois residents?
Well, one of the most remarkable things is that 1871, most of the city burned down. So we literally had to reinvent architecture. We had to reinvent building. The skyscraper came out of that. Louis Sullivan, the whole idea that you could do vertical things and they wouldn't burn down. It was a big concept.
Yeah, that's right.
The modern city was pretty much invented here.
That's amazing to think about, too. You're right, because there was a lot of wood was used. And that fire happened. They're like, maybe we try a different material.
Not a great building material.
You know, obviously, the 1871 and the fire, a lot of things came to light. And it goes back to the central idea that you even mentioned at the beginning, that it's out of necessity. It's not that we're a land of Lincoln where we're sitting around going, what are we going to invent next? It does come down to this idea that because of where we were, maybe it's the where we are at the right time and the right place as a state, that a lot of the inventions and the innovations that were happening is because, frankly, we needed it at that moment.
Well, necessity is the mother of invention. And, you know, we had a big problem here when the effluent from the meatpacking houses went into the river went into the lake, that was our drinking water, people got typhus, cholera, and they died. So we had to do something really inventive, like create this whole canal system to send our sewage down to St. Louis. They didn't appreciate it, but something they had to do.
We're talking with John Wasik. He is one of Illinois' Rhodes Scholars. We're talking about innovation. He is going around the state talking about innovation. He's speaking at Loyola's Cuneo Museum in Vernon Hills on June 5th. You can find out information about that. John Wasik is my guest tonight. We're talking innovation. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Continue the conversation. Stay with us. Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest at the big table tonight, John Wasik. He's an author. He's written over 17 books, a lot of them about innovation. His latest, Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla. John is one of the Illinois Rhodes Scholars, the experts that have been brought together to celebrate the bicentennial. He goes around the state of Illinois doing speeches and having conversations. It's great to look online for everywhere from Oak Park to downtown Chicago to Moline. You're all over the place in different places. How's it been for you? I mean, to be able to have this conversation about innovation in so many different parts of the state of Illinois.
You know, I'm always shocked at how surprised people are to hear that Illinois is an innovation hub. And then they're kind of uplifted because it's really kind of reassuring that they're living in a state that's producing some really valuable things.
And they continue to do it. I mean, the state does. It continues to produce innovation. We'll get into that and talk about the future. But why do you think it is that it's overlooked? That's the part I have lived here my entire life, and I don't feel that it's been a storyline that has been spoon-fed to me. I don't feel like it's in the DNA like Hog Butcher to the World, that kind of thing.
Well, it's not part of the narrative, and it's been lost for any number of reasons. The full flyover mentality, Silicon Valley is really the tech center, MIT, but I did the math. There has been more Nobel Prizes won in Illinois than any other country except for the U.S. as a whole. I mean, I had to look at it three times, just between Chicago and U of I.
And you wonder, too, because even with the incubators that are happening now in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago, whether it be 1871, and we have a lot of conversations here on the show about tech, the tech startup world here, it still is always about, we're bringing it to the Midwest. We're bringing it to Chicago. It doesn't have to be in Silicon Valley. Rarely does it ever reflect or embrace the fact that the state of Illinois has always been in that conversation.
Well, it has been, and it's been in a number of different areas. We have the most diverse economy in the whole country. We have food tech, we have health, we have pharma, we have, you know, the markets. We have all these innovations that happen in different industries, and it's not like that in New York. It's not like that in San Francisco. And we had to do things because we're pushing commodities out to the rest of the world.
And it's still... Listening to this, it boggles the mind that it's not front and center. I mean, you'll get more of a conversation about how great the trains are, the L trains, or more of a conversation about the melting pot neighborhoods of the city of Chicago than you will about being a leader, a world global leader in a lot of the areas you just talked about.
Well, Midwesterners are typically very humble, and that's okay because we used to be farmers mostly. And we still have that sort of ethos that we're here to help each other, that we're here to help the guy whose maybe crop isn't doing so well. And that whole ecosystem has spread to this entrepreneurial spirit, which has been going on for 200 years.
The state obviously has a lot of different faces. And, you know, if you're up here in the city of Chicago, right on Michigan Avenue, you think of Chicago as a metropolis. Mm-hmm. This idea of big city, urban invention, you talked about the transportation hub, what we know about O'Hare Airport, things of that nature. But Illinois is vast in its diversity when it comes to the kind of industries that innovate. Let's talk about farming, because John Deere, and it's kind of, I think that's the one that crosses over where most people who have grown up in this state know the story of John Deere and the tractor and the inventions at the time. Talk about his impact and the impact on the state of Illinois and, of course, the world.
Well, it changed agriculture. Once he had the steel plow, which he invented with a rusty saw blade originally, it allowed us to access this tremendously fertile soil that goes from here to roughly the Rocky Mountains. So it literally changed agriculture, allowed us to feed not only this country, but the rest of the world. And, you know, because the soil was so fertile, we could do high-yield crops. We could do hybrid corn, soybeans, things like that. We're still doing it.
It's amazing to think, too, because a lot of times I don't know if that story, the story of agriculture and innovation in that industry, is told on a global level about the state of Illinois.
Well, here's the real bottom line is that it was really Abraham Lincoln who signed the Morrill Act who said, look, let's make R&D a national project. Let's create these land-grant institutions like U of I, U of Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin, to do investment in, at that time, agriculture, because we needed to feed ourselves. We were expanding. And then it went into other areas like engineering. That's why Illinois is such a great engineering school, because we had to build cities after people left the farms. So, again, necessity is the mother of invention.
John, Abraham Lincoln plays a big role in innovation in the state of Illinois, but also in your speech and your lecture. Talk about Abraham Lincoln, because he's known to be an inventor.
And a lot of people don't know this, but Honest Abe is, I think, the only president to hold a patent. He designed a boat that could hold more cargo, because when he was a young man, he went from Springfield all the way down to Mississippi, New Orleans, and back, and, you know, he had to design a better boat, and he was always thinking about productivity. He was always thinking about infrastructure, and he wanted this growing country, you know, to be linked by a railroad, have great universities, solid education.
That's amazing to think that he may be the only president that holds a patent.
As far as I can tell, according to my research, anyway.
right. Let's talk about some of the others. The electrical grid plays a big role. You wouldn't think of that being a state of Illinois innovation.
The really interesting thing that happened is that electricity was a very novel concept up until the early 1890s. And then the Columbian Exposition came along, and they had a chance to display alternating current. And that was Nikola Tesla's technology. And Westinghouse bankrolled them, lit up all these electric light bulbs, and showed the world what it could look like. And then people got the idea, well, maybe we could power of the L system. Maybe we could illuminate the streets. Maybe we could have elevators in buildings. So it was created here, but it took root because a guy named Sam Insull, founder of ComEd, protege of Thomas Edison, came into the city and said, look, let's build this thing big. Let's build a huge power system that can first, you know, power this trolley system, mm-hmm. and then everything else. So he built the first turbo generator, united the generating part with the steam part in one unit. And he thought it was going to blow up. And the plant's still there, the Fisk Street plant down in 55.
That's awesome.
Been there since 1903. It was a world-changing event.
And I think about the exposition, the Columbian Exposition, just this idea of not only being a state that has innovation at its heart, mm-hmm. and inventors and other people who are harnessing that creativity, but being open enough to bring a World's Fair to this area that brings other inventors and other innovators to this area, like Tesla, like others who are going to come in and share ideas, and it takes someone from the state of Illinois to say, well, maybe we can do this.
It's a build it, they will come mentality. And it happened because, well, we had to rebuild the city after 1871, brought in people like Louis Sullivan, Daniel Burnham, Root. I mean, they had to redesign everything and make it modern and make it accommodating to a vertical sort of building ethos. And that was pretty new to civilization.
Yeah. John Wasik is in studio tonight. He is the author of Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla, and also Illinois Rhodes Scholar who goes around the state talking about innovation and prairie power. He's speaking at Loyola's Cuneo Museum in Vernon Hills on June 5th. It's coming up next Tuesday, and he's my guest tonight. We'll take a break, get an update on tonight's news. We'll come back, and let's talk about how we see innovation today. I mean, with what's happening here in the state of Illinois, and especially in the city of Chicago, right over at the Merchandise Mart. It's amazing to look at right in front of our eyes. And we'll talk about what we are seeing now that is impacting the world as we know it when it comes to innovation. John Wasik in studio, my guest at the big table. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, as you know, 2018 is the 200th year for the state of Illinois. Happy birthday. And back in March, they had the big celebration. That was the front page news. But what they did back in March is that the state of Illinois, they created these Rhodes Scholars, people who could talk about some of the things that are really important to the history of the state of Illinois, and one of which is innovation. John Wasik is a longtime author, 17 books. He's been on WGN many a times, talking with Milt and other people about his books. His latest is Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla. He is a Rhodes Scholar for Innovation. He goes around the state and he does different lectures and events. He's going to be speaking at Loyola's Cuneo Museum in Vernon Hills on June 5th. That's at 1 o'clock. Coming up on Tuesday the 5th, but he's in studio tonight talking about this because, frankly, when you and I were talking, I was like, I didn't know about the long history of innovation in the state of Illinois. I might think about the city of Chicago because it's a big city and it's got a lot of things that obviously are you think about when you think about big cities, but when you talk about the state of Illinois, the big fact that sticks out, and you mentioned in the first part, Nobel Peace Prize winners. Mm-hmm. Like, we have more in the state of Illinois than any other country in the world besides the U.S.
And we also have the 17th largest economy in the world. So we produce a lot of things here. But more importantly, we also do some things in humanities. You know, Second City, Change Comedy, the Chicago Literary Renaissance, from Harriet Monroe's Poetry Magazine, Carl Sandburg, all the way up to Gwendolyn Brooks. And then you extend that into the arts. You're talking about Chance, Common, you know, Oprah, you know, it's a whole list of people who came out of here.
And as we get deeper into this conversation, it does beg the question, why? I don't know if you and I can answer that, but this idea of what's in the water that creates innovation, that creates innovators, that people get this opportunity to risk and create new things that, quite frankly, are then consumed around the world.
Well, Chicago's like an inland port. Since we have two watersheds intersecting here, we're literally the crossroads of America. I mean, for a long time, the Great Lakes during the French era, that was the superhighway from Europe. And then they connected to the Mississippi system, and that was another superhighway. And then we created the rail system, and then, you know, the air system. So everybody seems to come through here for one reason or another. It was a big convention town, still is.
Yeah.
And when you're here, you have to have some sort of tolerance for new ideas. Because you're building a city, there's a lot of different kinds of people coming through here. And if you don't have tolerance, you can't have new ideas.
It is interesting, too, because Chicago has always had, and I always screw up this quote, but the make no small plans quote.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Burnham.
Yeah, Daniel Burnham.
Yeah.
But the idea that I think of even, and this has come up before, that even Lollapalooza is a good example of, mm-hmm. of, don't you want to live in a place where there are risks, where they want to create big things, that they want to try new opportunities and do things that you wouldn't think you could put that many people in a space in the lakefront and reinvent essentially how festivals have gone. I've had that conversation mm-hmm. on the radio talking about that. But this and you see it over and over with the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, of just this idea that new ideas are currency.
And you have to have aspiration. You have to want to try to do something big. And you also have to dream big, too. I mean, it doesn't always work out. In 68, the place was a mess. But there were people in the streets that were voicing their opinion. That was a good thing. That was an innovation for that time. And it's hard to believe that Chicago can do so many things well. But we do.
Let's talk about education before we get into the bigger questions about, you know, what we need to do to keep innovation working. But education plays a huge role. The education institutions in the state of Illinois have to get credit for innovation. The University of Illinois, of course, even here, Northwestern and the University of Chicago and other fine, great institutions. But the educational landscape in the state of Illinois also plays a big part of why this state is the 17th largest economy in the world.
Well, that's the foundation. When you have good universities, when you have a good secondary system, even pre-K is going to be very important. You can prepare minds to think critically, to think skeptically, to be able to fail, to have that resilience. I mean, that's essential, and that's why you need good universities like UIC, like University of Chicago, like DePaul, Lake Forest College. I mean, they are all fostering innovation just by creating this infrastructure of intellect, and it's so essential.
That's an interesting way to put it, too, this idea of training young people and young innovators on how to be innovative, how to fail, how to take risks, how to accept and harness the power of a new idea. All that's what college is all about.
And to know that you have the intellectual structure that if you do fail, you can try something else. Get yourself up again, try a new idea, see what happens.
And it's you hear it all the time from where I come from. I know you did Second City as well, mm-hmm. Players Workshop stuff, but there's a ethos as well in comedy. And they always talk about Chicago is a place where people can get up on stage and try new things and take risks and fall on their face and be better for it, have more respect for it, understand them. They're essentially honing their craft, because when you get to the coast, the industry coast, Los Angeles or New York, you don't get second chances. You don't get third chances. You're there to essentially have your product. You become commerce at that point. But the actual creativity is happening here in Chicago. And I think that plays into a little bit of what you're talking about, the lectures and events.
And Justin, you know what's unique about that environment is it's an ecosystem, because you are collaborating with the audience. Second City, you're throwing out some ideas. They're throwing stuff back at you. It's not, you know, they're not throwing drinks at you, thank God, most of the time, but they're throwing ideas at you. So you're having an exchange of ideas, and it's not like all or nothing. If you don't, you know, hit the room hot, you know, you're going to fail. But not every idea works on stage, right?
Yeah, all right.
It doesn't work in real life. Doesn't work in business.
Not even on this radio show. All right, my big question, and this is the one that I think has been swirling around in my brain about innovation and knowing where we're at as a big city and a state, knowing full well that we have this culture. What needs to be in place for it to thrive? Here we are in 2018, where you do have incubators all over the state of Illinois. You have new environments happening in Champaign-Urbana and mm-hmm. as well as here in the city of Chicago. We mentioned Merchandise Mart in 1871.
Sure.
But what we saw, and I saw this play out in the in the primary for governor, mm-hmm. where Chris Kennedy was talking a lot about this. This right. idea that we need to connect our university system to our big cities. We need to create pipelines for these companies, for startups, for incubators to be able. That's what's going to make Illinois move forward. That's what's going to get us to even be bigger than we are. Is that when we start talking about the connections and trying to use government and the resources that are allocated through taxpayers to streamline innovation, is that a good idea? Is that on the table? Is that something that we should be thinking about?
Well, absolutely, because you have to think of education as part of the infrastructure. You know, it's just as important as fixing the Kennedy or adding more runways at O'Hare. It's you have to put the money in place to create this environment, to fund these institutions. UIC is expanding. University of Chicago has a great incubator at the Polsky Center. Northwestern's got an incubator. Everybody is working to collaborate, and they're all connecting. U of I Labs has got a new manufacturing center on Goose Island, and it's all happening. But you have to support it through policy. You have to say, this is what we want to do. This is how we grow.
Right.
You grow these different businesses by creating the infrastructure for the knowledge that you need to get out there.
I guess I would make the I wonder, should government and our, especially when you talk about the state of Illinois, which is its own thing, should it be in that game? Should it be in the game of innovation? Should it be using its resources to try and foster that community, or in some ways accidentally stymie that, you know, innovation? Should government be in this business?
Well, I'm not going to argue that government in general is the answer, because it's not. But at the very least, government should provide the support, the capital, to let all this other human capital thrive. It's seed money. Think of it that way. It's like venture capital for creating minds, new ideas, new ventures. And you have to have it. It's not all going to come from the private sector. You need to put a generous amount of contribution into everything. I mean, you got to fix the roof of your house, right? You got to fix your driveway. You got to, you know, fix the heating system if it goes out. Mm-hmm. Education is even more important.
But John, this is what I love about this conversation, because we can get deep. You know, as a homeowner, mm-hmm. I have to make a decision. Do I preemptively fix my heating situation before it breaks in the wintertime, or do I wait for it to break? And when I think about innovation in government, should we be using taxpayer money to seed and water the garden of innovation and make sure and hope that something comes out of it? Or should we be ready with our money for when good ideas come to spring and be able to use them right away?
Well, to use the heating system metaphor, I literally replaced the heating system in my own house, and I had to do it, and I didn't even know it, and I waited and waited and waited. The guy comes out and says, oh, your heat exchanger's cracked, which means it probably would have killed us. So investing in this intellectual infrastructure is essential. We won't be able to thrive in the world economy without it. We need the capital.
Do we need big stories to change the way the world looks at the state of Illinois when it comes to innovation? Do we need the Oprah Winfreys? Do we need a new business that comes out that is the new Groupon and everyone goes, oh my God, you've changed the way coupons work, or whatever it might be? Is that the way that we change the paradigm when it comes to how Illinois is seen in the world of innovation?
Yes, we need to change the narrative. And here's why. When you change the narrative, everybody latches onto that story. So let's say the narrative has been violence or the Cubs or pick any number of things that have come
right,
out of here.
Right.
You change the narrative to say, we're a central location. We're a hub for the innovation economy. And I think that's what we're in. We're coming out of the information economy, going into the innovation economy. We're trying to merge the two ethically and find decent employment for people and create new ideas. And we got a lot of problems, you know. It's climate change, yeah. You know, environmental concerns.
Yeah, it's also something that you hear the leaders of our, you know, whether it be the city or the state, talking about the social issues of our time, whether it might be violence or inequality or poverty, the economy, and wanting to apply what we know about innovation or new ideas and what we do well in the state of Illinois to fix those issues. To say, can what's coming out of 1871, can what's coming out of the young minds and these new ideas that really is an extension of what we've done in this state for 200 years, can we look there to fix some of the ills that are facing us right now in 2018?
Oh, without a doubt. I was at 1871 a couple hours ago talking to some entrepreneurs at the Blockchain Project. They want to make Chicago the world center for blockchain. Very ambitious goal. But the whole idea is that they have a social entrepreneurial model. They want to do something good for the world. They just don't want to make money. Of course, it's always nice. But they want to create something of value that's going to help people. And I think that's a better model.
Yeah. John Wasik is the author of Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla. He is going to, he's a Rhodes Scholar for the state of Illinois, talking about innovation. He goes all over the state, from Oak Park to Lake Forest to Moline, all in between. And he is going to be at Loyola's Cuneo Museum in Vernon Hills on the 5th of June. That's at 1 o'clock. Talking about this very topic, about innovation. He's my guest tonight as we celebrate the bicentennial this year, 2018, in the state of Illinois. John, great to meet you, and thanks for coming in and having this conversation. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That was an interesting conversation about innovation. I'm John Wasik. That was good. I wonder if we get to a point, and this is the heady stuff that we talk about a lot on this program, but if we can get to a point where innovation is a category or a well of things that we have to have in society, right? I mean, right now it's always kind of shunned or not shunned, but shoved off to the private sector. It's, you know, it's capitalism at its best. But what if you said, okay, you know, the government funds police, fire, housing, and innovation, right? They almost in a way gave the money for incubators around the state. I think it's awesome that the state of Illinois wants to honor innovation with this bicentennial. I just hope it's not a nostalgia tour. You know, that this is something where, oh, we go around and we talk about what? We talk about John Deere, you know, that kind of thing. But right now it sounds like, obviously, we talk about it a lot in this program. We talk about all the innovation that's coming here to Chicago, but also, you know, with the Download in Chicago business and all the different entrepreneurs that are setting up shop here. But it really, truly is, I'm very interested to see who pays lip service and who actually gets the job done. Because you've got two governors right now that both believe they are the governor for innovation. Governor Rauner ran on that concept. He ran on the concept that certain entrenched ideals in the state of Illinois, labor, are getting in the way of being able to innovate and create new job opportunities and new economy in the state of Illinois. That was his run, right? He's saying that essentially the government and labor are standing in the way. We got to get all these things out of the way. Now, I'm not sure he's thinking, you know, tech startups. He might be thinking corporate interests, you know, just in where he comes from. But on the other side now, you have another entrepreneur, J.B. Pritzker, who was the guy who started 1871, was a big part of that, and has lived an entrepreneurial spirit, who says the same thing, talks about innovation, and that's really the key to job. And it'll be interesting to see what he does if given the opportunity to be the next governor of the state of Illinois, if innovation becomes much more front and center, if the narrative changes because of his background in business. Now, again, I'm not sure that you can say that everything is going to snap a finger and, you know, J.B. Pritzker is going to change the, you know, the narrative of the state of Illinois. You know, he's got his own interests and his party's interests as well. So I don't know, but I really hope that we get past just letting commercials speak for these candidates, that they just mudsling through ads and ads. That's why they have billions and billions of dollars to do so. And instead, we can have thoughtful conversation where the two of them can come together and a question can be asked about innovation to see where they're at. Because they both believe they're the right person for the future of innovation in the state of Illinois. Well, put your mouth where your money's at. How do you see it? I know you've done 1871. I know you've had success in business. You don't have to give us your resume up there. How do you see it playing out? Knowing full well that the state of Illinois is trying to embrace its past, and this has been a place in the middle of our country that has had success in this area, coming up with new inventions and new ideas to solve problems. Can we get there? And not only get there, but can we in 2018 be the face of it in this country? We'll start with you. 2 minutes, Governor. Rebuttal? Doubt that's going to happen. We'll see. All right, the Chicago Accent Challenge coming up here, 312-981-7200. We got a 9 o'clock hour to get to as well. What do you want to do, Pete? I feel like, you know, we'll come back. Well, I want to stay on time, but I'll talk about how I messed this show up. We moved today offices, and I took my – it's a lesson for young radio producers. Don't take your eye off the ball, and I took my eye off the ball for a second, and I lost the segment. I just thought I'd be here. And not, you know, I need new innovation. The innovation for my mobile phone, my phone email needs to change. Thanks, Rob. Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We got nothing to do here. We got an hour till the Chicago Accent Challenge. It doesn't matter. I could have booked four different guests. We could have gone rapid fire. We could have done roundup style. Roundup. But is there anything better than the Chicago Accent Challenge? No. So we just bide our times away. No, the reason I say this, if you're just joining us now, is that this is probably the first time, Pete, I have done 23 years, 24 years of this kind of work. I was a producer before I was on the air. Never done this in my life. Today we were moving, so there was a lot of working from home, remotes on the laptop, and this place. It just wasn't the routine. I don't blame the move by any stretch. It was very smooth. But I had booked the CEO of PaperSource to come on to be part of the Chicago Download and Chicago Business. And then right now at 9 o'clock, we'd be talking NBA basketball with Mark Carmen. And well, you know, if you heard the beginning of the show, you know, I was like, coming up and did crosstalk with Will, where I was like, oh, you know, it's interesting to talk about disruptive. You know, where are we with paper? Like, stationary, where should we be? And, you know, did the prep on it, did everything on it. And then, you know, at 7:30, she was going to call in tonight. And at 7:30, we didn't get a call. And I'm like, that's weird. So I went back to my emails and I found an email that I just missed because I was working off my phone today and they group. You know, email on your phone does that weird thing where it groups them.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
That happened, and I'm not blaming. It's again, I should have responded, but essentially saying, oh, they have, you know, there's a scheduling conflict. Can we do this next week? This was at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just missed it. So up to that point, and you know how that would have made things so much easier today. As I'm running around, where I got a huge weekend. I'm getting everything ready. I'm moving around, getting everything together because Schadenfreude, my sketch group that's turning 20. This is our 20th anniversary. Is in town this weekend. Starting tomorrow, everybody's here. Planning this.
Yeah.
And at the same time, my grandmother's memorial is on Sunday. I'm doing the eulogy for that. I'm on Cochrane tomorrow morning because there's no show tomorrow night. So I'm trying to get that, you know, to prepare for that. So I just feel like it was overflow. But yeah, so I'm sitting there at like 5 o'clock sweating, reading page after page on PaperSource. In 1983, they began in the River North area. I get all this stuff about where their stores are, what and I use it, obviously. We'll get her back and we'll have the conversation. But I'd spent, like, I was sweating at one point. You know, I was like,
it's a lot of stuff.
Going through it, I'm like, can I get ready? Mm-hmm. Wrap my head around the papery industry.
Yeah, papery.
The whole time. Fun word to say. And the whole time.
Regardless of what happens, you got papery.
I did get to say papery a couple times. And, of course, she's not there. So, and, again, it's not her fault. It's not PaperSource's fault. It's my fault. As 312 says, Jason, don't get down on yourself. It's Justin. It's okay. but that's okay. We got plenty of stuff to do, but it's just funny. This weekend has taken off in a way that I can't even tell you. I mean, I'm so excited to be able to have this a writing retreat. I haven't done a writing retreat.
Is that what this is?
Yeah. So Schadenfreude, which is my sketch group, and we've done a gazillion shows in Chicago, and we're Chicago. We always say we're the best above ground comedy show in Chicago. So much underground, above ground. We had a show at the Heartland Studio in Rogers Park for a long time. Did stuff at Second City, at the Hideout. We played pretty much every theater in Chicago at one point or another. And we've done sketch comedy, and we just, you know, as life goes on, people move. Mm-hmm. Kate is in New York City. Adam is in Los Angeles. Sandy's in Toronto. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just the idea that, you know, we're not in the same place. And so we recognize that our first show was in the fall of 1998.
Coming off that Bulls championship.
Yes, we got all excited. Like, it's never going to end. And I was at there were a couple places, but then that's when we settled in at the Heartland Studio right there on Glenwood.
Yeah,
right
behind love that Heartland place.
Great stories there. And anyway, so we determined that we wanted to do a reunion show, like a 20th anniversary. And there were all sorts of grand... We started the conversation probably about 2 months ago on emails, all sorts of grandiose ideas. Oh, let's do a stage reading of the script that we did. Let's... we should do a spectacle show. We should get Michael Shannon to just be in it.
Yeah.
And there's just like so many great ideas that were so huge. And then we finally stepped back and said, whatever the idea is going to be, it's really just about us coming back together,
yeah,
20 years
doing
after
a show
the fact
together.
And doing it. And
yeah,
one of the things is we used to do these. We did a radio show on NPR for a while, and in that, we used to do this thing where we would go on writing retreats. We actually would get we got houses up in Michigan during the wintertime, and we'd go up there for a week. And so we'd take off work, and everyone would take off work, and then we would just write and write and write episodes of radio comedy. And it was so hard and so great at the same time. Like, it was just like, you're doing it. That's it. You know, you buy the food ahead of time so you don't ever leave the place. It's just...
it's like an SNL schedule.
It is.
You know, you never sleep. In and you sleep. You're working all night.
And you're not partying. It's work. I mean, you're sitting, there's so much great footage of people stuck in stuff, you know, where they're just trying to... And we would pair off and we'd try to... And a whole process. I cannot believe how much how that worked. There were so many sketches and scripts and hundreds and hundreds of pages of stuff. And we produced 60 episodes in 2 years. 30-minute straightforward content. Like through. So anyway, my point being that that's in our DNA. We love that. So we are doing that in Chicago tomorrow. Like, everybody's flying in tomorrow morning. And then I get done with Cochrane at 10 o'clock, and then we're heading in.
There's someplace here? Are you going?
Yeah, no, it's right around the corner. My parents have a condo right around here, and I'm using it.
So that your retreat is local.
It's very local for me. For mm-hmm. them, it's not.
Yeah,
they're coming in. They're, mm-hmm. They have to check luggage. but for me, I'm the homegrown Steve too. Still is here as well. So it's going to be a crazy. It's 2 days of straight up writing sketches, and we haven't done it in a long time, and I'm worried about it. I'm a little anxious.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I'm also excited to do it with my friends and to get in there. But it is going to be a long process.
Are these all? Are you coming in with blank pages?
Blank pages.
You don't have any ideas percolating over the last couple of months?
It's a 20th anniversary, so I think the first thing we do is probably go back to the hits and see if there's anything we could do to... refresh, because that's going to be the question. The question, we'll talk about the strategy. Do you do a 20th anniversary show that's all brand new material? Or do you, and we had a sketch show that played that we will have, you know, we'll have 150, 200 people that'll come out to the show that have seen our shows in different places. Will they be expecting, you know, those sketches? Which I always hate when I see. I love it when you're like, oh, it's Chicken Lady. Kids and all. When you go to the, you know, Chicago Theater and you go see a Kids in the Hall show, if they don't do Chicken Lady, you're like, I'm out. Chicken Lady. I don't want to see the new stuff. I want to see Chicken Lady. So that's what you got to... What is your Chicken Lady?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like, I want to say Lauryn Hill, you know, who's playing at Pitchfork. I want to say that album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, I believe that came out around 1998.
Yeah, that would
make sense. You know, a singer or a band celebrates their 20th anniversary, a lot of times they'll do an album.
Is she doing that album?
I think she may be doing that album.
Yeah. We thought about that. The problem I have with that, Pete, and, you know, I just can't get over watching older comedians do the bits from 20 years ago, especially in sketch where they play like high school kids. And they look like they're 50, and they're up there going, "Oh, hey, principal, don't make us stop smoking."
Yeah,
and that I'm just like, time to move on. So that there's some of that because we were really good at that time of kind of making fun of the melodrama of, you know, the 20-something or kids. You know, that now it doesn't play as well.
Yeah,
but we have done in our lives. I know this is strange to think about, but I mean, 500 sketches. So you get to a certain point where you're like, what do people want to see? I mean, because you're absolutely right. We did it at the 10 or the 15. I think it was the 10. We did in 2008, we did a let's go back to one of our shows, our big touring show. And we did it at a theater in Chicago, I think the Playground. And it did not go well.
Oh.
Well, it just didn't play as well because we're old, fat, and tired. Like it's just, you know what I mean? Like it's a show in at the time in 1998, we were 23, 24 years old. There's a power and energy to moving fast and sort of exploding out on the scene. And that energy is a little bit tempered when you're like, after every time you walk on stage. So then we've transitioned after that to a lot of back of bar type shows where there's very little movement.
Yeah.
There's very little movement. We continue here in the download. And so I think Kate had she wanted to do the bigger, fatter, deafer tour. That's what she wanted to call it. Like kind of like a Run DMC, like a rap show. Bigger, fatter, deafer is what we're going for comedy. But anyway, we'll continue here. We'll take a break. Stay with us. Download 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here. Coming up, Chicago Accent Challenge, 312-981-7200. Before we get there, I'm talking about my crazy weekend. I got a writing retreat coming up. I'm very excited to write comedy. I was thinking about this week just about some of the old bits that we did. And a lot of the fun part of playing in the back of a bar is the spectacle, like the kind of comedy that you can put together. Characters. A lot of the characters have been in the show. Kate does the drunk Cubs fan. I do the Alderman Ed Buss. It's perfect timing. Alderman Ed Buss from the 53rd Ward talks like this. Perfect timing for re-election for the... That's when he comes out. He comes out. The lore is that he gets elected every 4 years, and then he goes to his satellite office in Boca Raton. And then he comes back for the election. And then he runs on, you know, usually, you know, unopposed in the 53rd Ward,
mm-hmm.
which is the little corner of land at Elston, Damon, and Fullerton that they just redid. And that used to be the bit, that it used to be a corner, like right in the middle there, that would be the bit that would get a laugh in the show. And now they've redone that intersection. Now there's a ton of land. So people always say to me, I get a ton of stuff on Twitter all the time, oh, they ruined Ed Buss's ward. Is he going to hit? I'm like, no, they tripled it.
Yeah.
He expanded it.
Yeah.
Who gets to he gerrymandered it. He got triple the space. So there's that, you know, all their characters like that. But I was thinking about one the other day that I would love to bring back, and I wonder if I can do it. It was with Walter Jacobson. And Walter, we did this great bit at the Hideout one night where we were doing a Christmas special. It was a Christmas party for the show, all the shows at the Hideout. So Mark Baser, Claire Zolke, a bunch of other people over there. And Schadenfreude hosted it. And the bit was that we were giving all the money from the door to charity for Christmas. We're giving it to the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're halfway through the show. We're like, listen, we've collected all this money and, you know, it's a big drive. Thank you. I think it was toys. I think we wrapped a bunch of toys. And we're like, we're going to give this to the homeless, and there's a representative here. And it was This is the bit. The bit was, it was Walter Jacobson dressed up like a homeless guy. Like he had the gloves cut off and the classic, trench coat yeah, and the thing. And he came up to take the picture with the check and he walked off and we're like, wait, sir, excuse me. Are you Walter Jacobson? He's like, yeah.
Oh my God.
You're like, that's a great bit, right?
That's a genius.
That's the kind of stuff that we want to do on the show where you're just like, this kind of Chicago joke and the play on that, obviously, you know, Walter doing the homeless Wacker Drive bit back
it's
in the day.
Cold.
And for him to be up for it, my favorite thing about it, and we were not, that's how I really met him. You know, we're friends now. I love working here and I see him and he's upstairs. Mm-hmm. But the pitch on that was so, like, having to pitch him on that idea, you know, this newsman to kind of, you know, poke fun a little bit on him. And he is so great where he was so good at his follow-up questions the day before. He's like, do you have the gloves? Like he was really into it, making it authentic. Like it had to be the right kind of character. Like even to the point, he's like, "Do you have a hat?" Like he did. He was totally into it. Those are the kind of bits that I want to do coming up. The show will be in September, but the 20th anniversary. Those like celebrities, I want to get a bunch of people to come on. I want it to be like a talk show. In the back of a bar almost, without the desk and stuff, where you're, look who's at the door kind of thing, and then somebody comes out and plays.
Do you have a venue in mind?
That will be discussed. There's a lot of options. We were talking about Second City and Hideout, of course. Love the Hideout. Tim and Katie over there would bend over backwards to have us come through there. Not because they love, just because we've had such a great relationship with them over the years, but it's just all about trying to find the right space to do this and that has enough space for 200 people, maybe more, depending, maybe less. The best thing we've learned, though, Pete, you'll love this, is that 1 year, I think it was 2003, we had success playing the Athenaeum Theater, which is up on the north side, 700, 800 seats.
Yeah.
And we had played at the Chicago Improv Festival, and we'd done 2 or 3 years in a row where we sold it out. Like, it was at the height of doing sketch comedy, and we worked really hard with posters everywhere, the whole bit. And we determined that it was time for us to branch out of the festival and do a show. So we booked a theater, and we went and did it. It was 2003, and we put all of our, you know, little money that we had and everything in there to book the space and put together another great show. There was funny bits in that show that not a lot of people saw because I believe the date was October 17th, 2003, maybe October 24th, 2003. Do you know what that was?
Are you talking about the Bartman game?
I am talking about the Bartman game.
It was October 14th, maybe?
Somewhere right in there.
October 13th?
Right there, the Cubs were going to the World Series. Everybody was so excited. And because of the Bartman ball and all of what happened, we had to play opposite the Cubs and the show tanked. And so we've learned. We've gotten older and learned. That's what I told everyone. They're like, well, you know, what about October, November? I'm like, nah, we're not doing any theater where there might be a World Series run for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
So we're looking at the last week of September.
Yeah. Is that a Bears bye week?
I didn't even think about the Bears. Like, what's going to happen is it'll be like,
they got a couple of primetime games.
Make sure it's not a Saturday night game. The new NFL's got Saturday night games or Northwestern and Wisconsin playing each other at Wrigley Field. I'd be like, curse you! No, we worked it out to a date towards the end of September where the Cubs are not in town and still regular season baseball, and there's no other sports that's in the way.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Because, again, going back to the Bulls, you know, every wedding that I went to in my 20s, it was during a Bulls championship run, you know, where you're in the, you know, everybody's getting, the reception is going on, but then all the people are in the bar watching the Bulls play,
I'll never forget going to a wedding in Toledo where my mom was so mad at us because we would not leave the hotel room to get to the wedding on time because Jordan was beating the Pacers or something like that. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get the news. We'll come back. Chicago Accent Challenge coming up. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Do you think you have what it takes to win the Chicago Accent Challenge? It's coming up in 20 minutes, 312-981-7200. Ted McClellan will be here. He wrote the book, How to Speak Midwestern. If you think you got a great Chicago accent and you think that you can beat the rest of us, you can get a pizza. And you'll enter into the grand prize, which will be a live grand finale and an opportunity to win $333. Who doesn't need $333? So we got some new questions. We got some spoilers. We have some riddles. All that coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. See the NBA Finals on. Yeah, it's amazing to think. We've been talking all about this Schadenfreude being 20 years old. What else was happening in 1998? In Chicago, I saw Riot Fest coming out. I feel like all the bands that are in Riot Fest coming up September were around in 1998. Saw Liz Phair on the list. That's cool.
I'm going to Milwaukee again to see Liz Phair.
Are you?
Yeah, because she's coming to Chicago in June, but she's playing the Empty Bottle. And, you know, tickets, one of those tickets go on sale where you're just frustrated and get angry and throw your phone because you can never connect to try to get tickets, you know?
Yeah, right.
So, and there was no other Chicago date. So we're like, well, let's go out to Milwaukee. He's playing like on a Saturday night or something. So
that's a good idea. You in Milwaukee. You just love
it. Yeah, love Milwaukee.
Are you ready to tell us that you're leaving Chicago? You're going to go live up there?
We have always kind of discussed leaving Chicago.
That's where you'd go?
Yeah. No, but we'd never go to any place colder or as cold as Chicago. But we love Milwaukee. Yeah, it's great.
Where would you go? Oh, I'm fascinated now. I'm intrigued. Turn the mic, big table with Pete Zimmerman.
I don't know. My wife's from Texas.
Yeah, she's got Texas roots.
You know, maybe somewhere down there.
Maybe like in Austin, Texas? Like a San Antonio?
Yeah, maybe somewhere like there, West Texas, where she's from. She's from Lubbock. Nashville, you know, a lot of people go there. Somewhere in the Smoky Mountains, Tennessee.
Could you live in New York City? Would you be a New York City kind of guy? Would you get like a nice little one-bedroom apartment that fits your bed and the stove?
I would love to live in New York City.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I just don't think, you know, unless I win the split the pot at the Cubs games or something.
We say that, and then I have to say, being in New York last weekend, I feel like everyone I walked around, I'm like, that person's not rich. That person's not rich. That person, they're young, but they're not rich.
Yeah, but they're also living outside because they live in a shoebox. Right. And, like, you know, I had spent a lot of time out there, and I had thought about perhaps giving it a try and looking at apartments. I was like, I don't, you know, this is like a shoebox that costs $3,000 a month, you know.
Just crazy.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
But there's so many famous pizza places.
I love New York's the greatest, and I hate when people badmouth it and say, you know, Chicago's better than New York, because I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think they're both great cities.
I was surprised because a neighbor friend of my friend who's in Staten Island, we hung out on their porch and they said that they lived in the city and they came out to Staten Island on the weekends. And she was saying that she used to live in Greenwich Village, and she said that, you know, and you think about it, you're like, oh, that's so, I mean, that's just iconic, you know, to live down there. And she said it is, but they have super gang problems at night. So
really?
At night, up and down those Greenwich Village streets, they have gangs. Isn't that weird? I was like, really? That's a weird. All those streets, those, oh, we go and we're having such a great time. I can't believe this looks like a movie set. And at night, it turns into.
I can't believe that. I've never felt unsafe.
Right. I would never. And you just don't even think about it. But she said it's different at night.
Huh.
Like middle of the night, not 9 o'clock.
And I then know when I would be out. I'd actually be going home in for about an hour at that time. But
yeah, I would never have thought that. Yeah. So anyway, I would live. What about California? Would you do California? You a California guy?
Mm-hmm. I would do California.
What wouldn't you? I guess I'm asking the wrong questions. What's a no? What's a no?
Pretty much anywhere north of Chicago. No Minneapolis, St. Paul.
That's a great place.
You know, Dakotas.
I don't know the Dakotas that well.
You know, what else? You know, nothing.
Just because of the weather?
Yeah. I mean, I want, you know, I love Chicago, so I want to go somewhere that has some, you know, culture attached to it as well, you know, so.
I've said this before, Minneapolis-St. Paul, not only have I played several colleges in that area, played St. Olaf, Carleton, McAllister, all great schools, done comedy in those places, great town. I saw Styx, Sammy Hagar, and Daddy Yankee.
So
not on the same bill. Not on the same bill. They're all different. But I'm just saying, there's your culture. I'm just throwing it out. And the only problem, and this was a problem, again, I'm dating myself. This would have been the mid-2000s, is that you can't buy booze after 9 o'clock there. Like, you can't buy a six-pack of beer after, like, I mean, the sun just set.
Yeah.
It is so frustrating to be like, are you kidding me? You cannot. And that's just a strange Minnesota law. Texas will tell me what's up. But it's, yeah, it's, that's where I'm just like, all right, any place that doesn't let you buy 24/7 on booze, I'm out.
Yeah, we were, you know, we were in Milwaukee.
And I don't even drink. I'm just saying it's,
it, yeah, I just, yeah, like, I don't care about,
yeah,
like,
civil liberties.
I don't think I've ever purchased in the last 15 years have purchased any alcohol past 9 p.m. Like, it's going to a store,
yeah,
you know.
It's the Monty Python. But we have the right to have babies.
Right.
No, it's, yes. There should be a 24. There's a 24/7 liquor store in Chicago. There are a couple that, and I always love this, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, if you want a six-pack of beer, you can go get a six-pack of beer. It's going to cost you $30 or whatever they tax it. But hey.
It's available.
It's available.
Yeah, we stayed in an Airbnb in Milwaukee, and when we opened up the fridge to the Airbnb, the host had left two Pabst Blue Ribbons.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just two, you know, only thing in the refrigerator. I'm like, oh, that's very nice. So then when we left, I thought, like, let me go get a Chicago beer and leave them two Chicago beers.
Oh, look at you.
So we
communicating.
We were leaving. And I was thinking, like, oh, it's Sunday. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if, you know, Wisconsin or, you know, they have some crazy laws where you can't buy liquor on a Sunday until
Ted
noon
McClellan
or something.
Right.
But then I was like, it's Wisconsin. Like, if you look up the 10 drunkest cities in the U.S., like, nine of them are in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like no liquor things. And I went there. It was like 8:30 in the morning, just like the convenience store right up on the corner. Place packed. People going to the Brewers game. Like, what time are the Brewers playing? Like 11? It was like all people in Brewers jerseys at 8:30 in the morning buying tons of liquor.
There you go. Right, that's safe. What it did. Well, I always was annoyed that Chicago had those laws. I think they're gone now, right? There was a couple
years
ago. Because I remember how ludicrous it was to be going to a Bears game and being in the South Loop Club ordering coffee at 10:30. Yeah, I get it. I shouldn't be drinking at 10:30. I'm only starting to have a beer because the seven friends of mine have determined it's time to go to a sporting event that starts at noon on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It's not my pride. I didn't choose this time. This is the time that was afforded to me. So the idea of just all of us drinking coffee out of a styrofoam cup at a bar because the law won't let us drink before a certain time, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just, I had a serious problem in Minnesota with that. I just didn't, I don't know. I can't, and like I said, I'm dating myself. It could have changed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like that. That's, and we got savvy to that because we used to play, there's a ton of liberal arts colleges in Wisconsin and Minnesota. And we would get on the tour, like do sketch shows through there. And we got wise to it. After it took three or four to be like, you know, you're in your mid-20s and you're like, yeah, let's get a case of beer. And then you'd be like, you can't get any beer.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here? That we were like, we have to do that beer run at...
To prepare.
To prepare. So we would do it at 5 p.m. before stage tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, it was out of sync, out of whack. So, no, the calls are, that's hilarious. The lines are lit up. Let me tell you about the liquor laws in Minnesota. All right, why don't we do this, Pete? Let's take a break. We can talk to these guys if we want. But coming up, the Chicago Accent Challenge. Stay with us. Speaking of Blagojevich, Max Tawney, is a Daily Beast reporter, was said that Patty Blagojevich was on Fox tonight. You know, they had her on, obviously, with the president talking about commuting the sentence of the former governor. And the tweet is, on Fox, Rod Blagojevich's wife, Patty, criticizes Robert Mueller and James Comey. Quote, these same people are trying to do the same thing that they did to my husband on a much larger scale. They were emboldened. They took down a governor. Now they have their sights much higher. Wow. Is that how she sees it? I don't know if that helps the case, because in that quote, and I know she's playing to her crowd there, but it's like she's essentially saying that Robert, that the Patrick Fitzgeralds and the DA and everybody was took down a governor with, he didn't do anything wrong. Now, you can do what you could say what you want about how long the sentence was and whether that was a fair sentence. But I think we all agree that he did something wrong. So they're rewriting, she's rewriting this history. And it obviously plays into the fact that the man who is president now, who has the power, she's going to play into his narrative. But that is a very eye-opening thing to say, to act as if the U.S. government wrongly took down a governor of the state of Illinois. Not even Democrats think that, right? Have you heard that? I don't think that that's, you don't hear like too many people talking about how he was taken down unfairly. There's a chorus of people that say that, all right,
the maybe sentence, it was too harsh.
Yeah, yeah, maybe 14 years is too long. I love that the president got the sentencing wrong. That's when you read the transcript. 18, kept saying 18 years over and over. But, you know, you can make an argument about, you know, okay, has he served time for what he did? But I don't know if there's been an argument that has said that he didn't do anything wrong, except for him and his lawyers, who, you know, just argued that what he did was wrong, but everybody does it. And that was the argument, essentially. And then the idea to say that the FBI and James Comey and Robert Mueller, they're the same type, just here. It's like, come on, man. Does anyone actually? And I love it, too, because, and the president called us out today, which I thought was also intriguing, that he kept calling out. He's a Democrat. Why would I help him? For a guy who ran on the concept that even before the Republican primary, that he was not political. Now it's, why would he even help a Democrat?
Yeah.
But it's also so interesting to think that Blagojevich was, you know, he was the congressman for the 5th district in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago. I mean, he's a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And the concept now, Democrat governor, for him to be aligned with Trump and Republican politics, everyone who follows either one of those politicians has to be like, I'm confused.
I think Patty's father also, I would consider, a Democrat.
Absolutely. Dick Mell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. I thought that today, I thought that was...
I wonder, so this all happens, mm-hmm. Does he just come back and live in his house in like Ravenswood or wherever they live? Does he go back to coloring his hair?
I don't know. That's
will he following him when he goes for his runs in the morning?
Is it going to get all paparazzi here?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a Blagojevich watch.
Yeah.
It will, because what have we learned about the media, and it's even with Trump, is that those kind of stories get clicks. Yeah. And get clicks, make money. And so there won't be any ethical question about whether or not to, any time that Rod Blagojevich says a word or tweets something, that it becomes a story, because they're going to want to put it out there because people consume that.
Yeah, they do.
But it's going to be annoying. Beyond, maybe it won't, maybe he'll go away, but something tells me. I have to say, I said it in the carryout too, the John Williams... He played the clip from The Apprentice where Blagojevich got the boardroom scene where he got fired. It's so dumb. Like, across the board, it's just so dumb. What they're talking about, Blagojevich didn't properly research the Harry Potter facts. I don't know what the thing was. I forgot what the thing was. But just out of context, you're like, but wasn't it your job to research the Harry Potter facts? Well, I didn't know what facts went. No, yes, it was, because the product, I just... Just, I was like, this is couldn't be more perfect.
Yeah, I was reading a lot of stuff about his appearance because I believe I'm sure I watched it at the time, yeah. Just because, you know, you're interested, yeah. And then, such but I didn't remember, but yeah. I remember somebody printed up some of the, you know, like classic things that he did on The Apprentice, and he didn't know how to use a computer. Because he's like, yeah, I've been governor and a rep, you know, I had people do, you know, the state of Illinois did things for me. And he couldn't turn on a computer. This was not that long ago.
He couldn't research his Harry Potter facts. That's why he was fired from The Celebrity Apprentice. Whatever.
That's classic.
Well, we'll see how this plays out. 708 says, can't get liquor to go after 9 p.m. in Milwaukee either.
Oh.
So there you go. So, yeah.
Really?
So there we go. You would that bit wouldn't have worked. Although you were doing it earlier in the day.
Yeah, it was 8 there. It was in the morning.
All right, Ted McClellan's in the building, the man who accompanies us in our Chicago Accent Challenge. He is the author of How to Speak Midwestern, and he is here. We're very excited to get this show on the road, the Chicago Accent Challenge. You think you got what it takes to win a pizza? Now's the time to call. 312-981-7200. Have people told you, you know what, Kathy? You have a Chicago accent, and you say, no, I don't. Now's the time to call. 312-981-7200. We'll do that after the news. It's Rob Martier here on The Download, 720 WGN.
Favorite actor, Farina, dandruff, tons, brats, chops, dogs, they're done. Favorite coach, Ditka, vacation place, Conson, sausage, Johnson, chicken, Swanson's, other actor, Behringer, linebacker, Buckus, chopped, peppers, tomatoes, onions.
Yes, it's The Download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It is time for the Chicago Accent Challenge. Woo-hoo-hoo! Our year-long tournament. The Chicago accent, of course, made famous by the super fans, but there's much more to our local dialect than bears and bulls. It's nuanced and according to region, ethnicity, and gender. How do I know this? Well, because I read my guest's book. Ted McClellan is back tonight. He's the author of How to Speak Midwestern. Ted, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. We're going to qualify you for the finals in which you can win $333.
That's right.
And a Coast Guard boat.
We're figuring that part out. We got to find the Coast Guard boat. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's simple. We get contestants on the line, and the best accent wins a Lou Malnati's pizza. But that's not all. As Ted just said, the winner gets an opportunity to play in the Download Chicago Accent Tournament. It's like blood sport, but for Chicago accents. It'll take place this fall. Grand prize, $333. So if you've been told you got the best Chicago accent on the block, or you use phrases like drag it through the garden, or over by Dare, at least once a week, you got a good chance to win some stuff tonight. You call up, we interview you, read a couple things, maybe we'll ask you about some fun stuff, give you some trick questions, and your Thursday night is made. 312-981-7200. All right, Ted, so yes, there's already people on the line.
I know, I need a pencil. I'm going to keep score pencil on a Garrett's popcorn receipt. It's going to be perfect.
That couldn't get any better, right?
Right.
All right, let's kick it off. We usually have two categories, men and women.
Yes.
Because there are differences. And why don't we start, I believe we start on the women's side tonight, with Lulu. Lulu, you're on the line. Lulu, you ready to play the Chicago Accent Challenge?
Well, yes, Justin, but I don't believe I have any kind of accent.
Okay. Well,
I've been told I do in other parts of the country.
Okay, sure. So you go to other places, and they're like, wow, you have a Chicago accent.
Well, yeah, you don't have an accent in your own region. You have an accent when you go somewhere else.
And I'm a little stuffy tonight, but I don't have that classic Saturday Night Live skits Chicago talk.
Yeah, so. But you sound like a Midwesterner to me.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. What parish are you from?
What parish are you from, Lulu?
I'm sorry, what?
What parish are you from?
You know what? I just missed both of you guys.
Oh, what parish are you from?
That's in Louisiana.
That's in Louisiana?
Yeah, there's no parishes in Illinois.
Well, that right away you're disqualified because there are, yes, indeed, there are parishes.
Your local Catholic church.
Your local Catholic church.
Your local Catholic church.
Oh, okay. No, bummer.
There you go.
I was a kid. I was in St. Joe's Parish in Homewood.
Okay. All right. There you go. All right. I'll ask you a question here, and it's pretty simple. Are you ready,
yes.
Lulu? Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Yes, I'd like Italian beef and hot peppers.
Yeah, excellent choice. And if you win, what do you want on your pizza?
just pepperoni and mushroom.
Okay, there you go. All right, Lulu, thank you. Thanks for playing.
Thanks, Lulu.
Okay.
All right, there you go. 312-981-7200. Ted, she may be right. I didn't. You picked up the Midwestern on her.
She had a Midwestern accent. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
there are different areas. We always have to backtrack a little bit, but yeah. the Chicago accent, which is you in your book, you kind of split out where all the accents are. You do Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana. Yeah. But the Chicago accent, it has roots in the Northeast.
Yeah, it has roots in Buffalo. Actually, if I go to Buffalo, people in Buffalo sound very similar to people from Chicago. I mean, people got on the boat on the Great Lakes, they sailed west, they landed in Chicago, and so that's the link.
That's the link, so there you go. 312-981-7200. We've got some fun questions tonight. We were just compiling all the fun ones. Of course, we've done the Portillo's one before.
Yes.
But we've got some good stuff.
That never gets old, though.
Never gets old. Tonight, okay, so here's what we have. We have name the address.
Yes.
That's a game we're going to play.
We're going to give you the address of a Chicago landmark, and you're going to tell us what it is.
And then we also have a couple of directions questions, and then also some trivia from some commercials. And
How do you get over there?
That's essentially it.
We're asking for directions.
All right, let's bring in Mike. Mike, you're up. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Ready for the Chicago Accent Challenge?
How you guys doing?
Hey, that's a great Chicago name.
Mike is a good
Ditka, Chicago. Royko, many of the greatest Chicagoans have been named Mike.
Malone.
Mike Glennon.
Glennon.
Yes.
Great Chicagoans.
Yes.
Really great Chicagoans.
Mike Montgomery.
Mike, where are you from? What parish are you from?
I'm not from a parish. I'm not Catholic.
Okay. Oh. Wow, but you said Catholic, so that's
where
a point
you, where
for
you. Where are you from? Where are you from originally?
Wilmette.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They don't even have parish. They have Holy Comforter up there, or is that Wilmette?
Loyola.
Yeah.
Loyola, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. How long have you lived in the area? Your whole life?
Yeah, I'm 58.
All right, 58. And do you think you've got a Chicago accent?
I don't think so.
I think he does.
All right.
When I went to school in Indiana, people said, you sound like Chicago. And I didn't think I did.
Yeah. Well, just for saying Catholic, that's a point for
you. There's no TH in the Chicago accent, right? All right, so let's get to some of these. Why don't we start with the obvious one, which we've been doing, which is welcome to Portillo's, Mike. Can I take your order?
I want a hot dog dragged through the garden.
Okay, all right. There you go.
But you know what? No sport peppers. I don't like the peppers.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. Good. All right, Mike, I'll follow up with a question here. What's the best way to get to Ma's house?
To where?
To Ma's house, to Ma's.
Oh, to Ma's?
Yeah.
Well, I got to go over by, at this point, I got to go over by Western.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's over near Albany Park now.
Okay.
Okay, good.
All right. Hey, we got a ringer here.
Yeah. All right, we'll give you an address.
No,
you ready?
I'm not a ringer. I'm telling you what I know.
Yeah.
Okay, here's an address, and then we'll move on here. 233 South Wacker Drive. What is that, 233 South Wacker Drive?
233. Jeez. Is that, I was going to say the Palmolive Building, but that's north. That's north on Michigan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I love
maybe
it.
The next person
even
will
the
get.
I don't know has got a Chicago accent to it. Right, Mike, it's showing.
I'm putting a star next to your name.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll let you
thank
know.
Thank you, guys. Thank great you. Show.
Thank you.
Man. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Sherry. Sherry, welcome to the Chicago Accent Challenge.
Hello there.
Hello, Sherry.
Listen, I'm told I don't have an accent, but I want to share this with you. Many years ago, I married a guy from the South.
Yeah.
And he took me down on our honeymoon. We went down. We're sitting around this big table, all these Southerners, you know.
Yeah.
And the one girl looked at me and she says, "Where are you from, honey?" And I said, "Chicago." Or no, she said, "Where are you from, honey?" And I said, "What do you think?" She said, "Chicago."
Yeah,
and
no,
I
she
said,
knew.
"Why do you say that?" And she said, "By your accent."
You can tell. That's what all Midwesterners say. I don't have an accent.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I born and bred here. Yeah.
Okay. Sherry, where what's your parish?
Northwest Side, Chicago, Portage Park.
All right.
If you do win the Lou Malnati's pizza tonight, what do you want on your pizza?
Nothing but double cheese.
Okay.
That's perfect. Nothing but double cheese.
So should we ask her? Ask her the other. What well-known Chicago building is it? 233 South Wacker Drive.
Is that the Tribune Tower?
No.
We're actually sitting in the Tribune Tower. It's going to be demolished in 2 weeks.
Demolished, maybe. All right.
The bar. It's a bar.
It's a bar.
Okay.
All right. Good.
All right.
I think we got it. Good. Sherry, thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Good.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome.
The double cheese did it for me. All right. 312-981-7200. We'll take our first break. We come back more with the Chicago Accent Challenge. We haven't gotten to any of the trivia questions, Ted. We've got some read these back to us kind of stuff. So a lot going on. 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
Albert Pontiac, Elmhurst.
On Grand Avenue.
312-981-7200. That's a steal there, Mr. Zimmerman. Good job. Ted McClellan is here, How to Speak Midwestern. We are playing the Chicago Accent Challenge. We've already got some great people on the line. Let's keep going. Let's go with Susan. Susan, you're up for Chicago Accent Challenge. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, welcome.
Hi.
All right, Susan. What parish are you from, Susan?
St. Gertrude.
St. Gertie's.
All right.
Is that in Edgewater?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew a guy from there. John Gorman. He used to work for the Tribune. Oh, I think Dick Devine went there, too.
Susan, do you think you have a Chicago accent?
Definitely.
We're going to have to give us more than one word. You're on the radio in Chicago. You're on the mighty WGN.
Well, I lived for a couple of years in New Orleans, and when they heard me talk, they said, "Honey, where are you from? You talk so funny."
We had that with our last caller. Yeah, she married a guy from down south, and they made fun of her accent.
If you win tonight, if you win the pizza, what are you going to get on it?
Sausage.
Okay.
Yeah.
And mushroom.
Okay, sausage and mushroom. Good. All right, I got a couple of questions for you here. Let's keep going with this one. The address 233 South Wacker Drive. What building is that?
It's Sears Tower, but they're calling it now Willis Tower.
Correct.
Good job. We got a winner there. You got the Sears Tower. Sears. Yeah. Sears.
people might have been Googling. They might have been,
but that's that's a trick question because if you Google it, it would show up Willis Tower.
Okay. But everybody knows Willis Sears. Tower is Sears Tower.
But everyone in Chicago is a real Chicagoan is going to call it Sears.
Exactly.
Right. All right. I think we got some good stuff here. And then the last one, let me give you, Susan, let's give you another one here. How do you get to Ma's house?
Ma, as in my mother?
Yeah, Ma.
How do you get to Ma's?
She doesn't live in Chicago anymore.
Okay.
So I would take the Skokie Swift.
Yeah.
From the Howard L station.
Excellent.
Get off at Dempster and then take a 97 Skokie bus to Grosse Pointe and Skokie Boulevard.
So she lives near Old Orchard?
Right behind Bonefish Restaurant.
And do you live in Rogers Park?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, you got it down. There you go.
I live in Rogers
That's
Park,
good.
So.
All right, Susan, that was good. Swift. That was good. You got the Skokie Swift in there. That's a bonus points for getting the Skokie Swift in. We appreciate the call. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
This is true. That's good. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, ready to play the Chicago Accent Challenge?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
What parish are you from, Glenn?
St. Benedict's, North Side.
All right, North Center area.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a couple of St. Benedict's on the program doing
this.
Okay, do you think you got a Chicago accent?
No, but I think people think I do.
Okay, all right. I'll ask you a couple of simple questions here to see if we can get to the bottom of whether you do. Welcome to Portillo's, Glenn. Can I take your order?
I want the Italian beef, extra juicy with sweet.
Good one.
I love the people who work at Portillo's have to be like, is this guy from Chicago or just rude?
But I go to Johnny's on North Avenue.
Yeah, of course. That's so good. That's a good place.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. All right. Okay, I got some more for you here. Let's do a. Can we do a sports one, Ted? You want to do a sports?
Oh
one?
Yeah.
I'm not in the sports, man.
Okay, you're not in the sports?
All right, we'll hold
yeah.
It. All right. Let me give you an address. How about this? All right. Ready? Let's go with 69 West Washington. What is that building?
69 West. Okay. Let's see. Well, being from Chicago, you know it ends in an odd number, so it's on the south side of the street. So it's on the south side of Washington. Would that be City Hall?
Yes.
Hey,
correct.
Nice job, Glenn.
City Hall.
Your skills.
Yeah, I've been arrested there a few times.
Yeah.
Always a good place to get
arrested. I didn't say that on the radio, did I?
Hey, you might have. That's okay, though. And then the last question I'll ask is, how do you get to Mars?
Let's see. I'd probably take, I'm out at Harlem, so I'd take Irving Park east to Western Avenue, and she's still over there in St. Benedict's.
Okay. Right, there you go. Thank you very much, Glenn. Good job. Appreciate the call. Thanks for playing. Bye-bye. All right, how about that? Way to go, Glenn.
Good one. I'm still giving it to Mike here, though.
You still like Mike?
Mike still got the lead.
I know.
Just for
we've got
Catholic.
Here's what we've got so far.
Catholic.
We've got Lulu, Sherry, and Susan on the female side, and then we've got on the male side, Mike and Glenn. So we'll see.
Okay.
Let's go to Sandy. Sandy, you ready to play the Chicago Accent Challenge?
Yeah, sure enough.
Sure enough. All right. Where are you from?
I'm, originally from Market Park area.
Okay.
Southwest side.
Yeah. Grew up in St. Rita's Parish.
Okay.
St. Rita's?
We don't even have to ask anymore.
Okay.
If you win the Lou Malnati's tonight, what are you going to put on your pizza?
Oh, that's easy. Sausage and mushroom.
All right. That seems to be the winner, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right there.
Sausage and mushroom. Okay. Let me ask you a question here. Let me give you an address.
Sure.
875 North Michigan Avenue.
Oh, no. 875
North Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, that is... Isn't that where Lord and Taylor used to be?
That's what I said. I said the same thing. I was like, Lord and Taylor, but Ted told me.
We got a trick question here.
It's good. I like
it.
Yeah. All right.
Is it Water Tower Place?
That's what I thought.
That's what Justin thought of.
All right, we'll keep moving on because I like what we got here. And then we'll end right here with the same question I just gave Glenn. How do you get to Mars?
You know, I was listening to you guys, and, you know, Mars gone. So I got to go to the cemetery.
Yeah. How do you get to the cemetery?
All right. Well, I take Ridgeland and then get to 79th Street. Let's see. Ridgeland to 79th to Roberts Road to, what's the other street there? Well, to Roberts Road to 70, you know what? I don't even know.
Which one is it?
I just drive there.
Sandy, that was the perfect answer.
Which cemetery is it?
I'm sorry?
Which cemetery is it?
Oh, this is Lithuanian National.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
Not even Resurrection. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would have been easy. That's just right down Archer Avenue.
Hey, right.
All right, awesome.
Don't
Sandy.
Run into the ghost.
Thanks so much for the call, Sandy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's good.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're ready for part two. We've still got some people lined up on the line. We'll take a break here, and we'll get the news with Rob Martier. Great first half of the Chicago Accent Challenge, right, Ted?
I got Mike and thinking Lulu.
Right at the bet. Lulu, huh?
Yeah.
I like Mike. I also like Glenn. I'm not going to give up on Glenn yet.
Okay.
I also liked... I think I had Sherry.
Sherry's good too.
Because she had the greatest line. I wrote down nothing but double cheese.
Oh yeah, true.
What do you put on your pizza?
Yeah,
nothing but double cheese. I love it. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Favorite Mayor Daly cigarettes, Coles, Stanley makes great goals. Favorite Judge Mathis, favorite jingle dolls, Hawks, Cubs, Bears, Bulls. Favorite Tower Sears, favorite song to shuffle, Jays, Fritos, Doritos, Ruffles, 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 Ruffles.
Oh, Serengeti, crack me up, man. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. And it is the theme song for our segment, The Chicago Accent Challenge. Ted McClellan is here. He, of course, the author of How to Speak Midwestern. You can find it in your local bookstore, maybe.
Still. Yeah.
Yeah, and also online, of course. Have you got any speaking engagements coming up? That's my favorite when you're playing the library.
Let's see. I'm going to do in Palatine on July 17th.
Okay, so you got a little. Yeah. You got some time to get ready for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in Schaumburg in the fall.
All right, there you go.
Now, hitting all the big suburbs.
Chicago Accent Challenge, 312-981-7200. Of course, this segment, you got a great Chicago accent, you want to flaunt it, you can win a Lou Malnati's pizza and enter into the grand prize tournament, the Chicago Accent Tournament,
yes,
where the prize is $333. And maybe a Coast Guard cutter.
A Coast Guard boat. Yeah, that's right.
We're working on that part of it. That's a maybe. There's an asterisk on that one. All right, let's go to Joe. Joe, you ready to play the Chicago Accent Challenge?
You got it.
All right, Joe.
Joe, are you a sports fan?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely. Oh, no. Joe, where are you from? Where are you from, Joe?
Yeah, I love the Cubs. It's about where I'm going there.
Well, we got a Cubs question.
Joe, where are you from?
I grew up in Oak Park, River Forest area.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And used to go to Cubs a lot when you could walk in and bring your own liquor and sit in the park benches there.
Yeah, those were the days. But they didn't win back then.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
It was a social club for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, that's what's missing now that they sold out and won the World Series.
Well, they used to be a stadium with a team. You know?
Right. No, this is a good one. This is a good trivia question. Ready for this one, Joe?
Yeah.
Who got the victory? Which Cubs pitcher was credited with the victory, the win, in Game 7 of the 2016 World Series?
I couldn't tell you.
All right. That's out there. So no Googling.
Too busy socializing, like I said.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you a couple questions real quick, Joe. How do you get to Maz?
Well, she's over by there in Elmwood Park, and take a north in Harlem. Harlem, head north on Harlem Avenue up to 70th Diversity, and then you make a hang a left over there and go up to 77th Avenue. And you're
hanging left over there.
All right, you're making a strong case. If you win this pizza, what do you want on it?
Well, for me, I'd have sausage, cheese. Lots of sausage and pepperoni.
All right.
Sausage and a leftover there. That's what I've got for Joe. All right, Joe, and let me ask you a question. 875 North Michigan Avenue, what building is that address?
Oh, hell. Michigan Avenue, that's got to be one of the shopping stores. I couldn't tell you for sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. And I'll give you one more. I'm going to give you one more trivia question. This one's hard. You ready?
Okay.
This one is super hard. In the famed commercial, her Victory Auto Records, right? The Victory Auto Records commercial. The guy gets money for his car. How much money is he given?
On the commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably gave him, since that's the old one with the green door that falls off.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably gave him $100 then. It's funny you say that because I just got rid of an old Crown Victoria and he gave me $300.
Yeah. So with inflation, that's probably equal to what he got back then.
All right. You're off on it, but don't give it away because we'll ask somebody else. That's awesome, Joe. Thanks for calling, man. You're a front runner. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Bye now.
Bye. That was good, man.
I would put Joe in the lead. You were
I like
trying
Joe.
To construct a question we could get over by Dare out of, and he...
Oh, he gave us 15.
Yeah.
He over by Dared the entire way to Mama's house.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I love it. All right, Tim. Tim, you're on the line. You ready to play the Chicago
Joe's
Accent
number
Challenge?
One now.
I'd love to.
All right.
All right, Tim. Now, Tim, are you a sports fan?
I'm a sports fan. I'm a Sox fan.
All right, we got a Sox question. Right. Yeah.
Tim, where are you from?
I'm from Wheaton, Illinois, but I grew up on the southwest side.
Okay.
I like this accent.
And what parish?
St. Pete's.
Okay.
All right. I got a question for you. Let me give you a Sox question. Can you name three members of the Southside Hitmen?
Oh. No.
No.
No?
I couldn't either until I read Joe Knowles' book.
Uh-huh.
On the Chicago White Sox, and couldn't do it up to that point, but now I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. I'll ask you a couple questions here, Tim. How do you get to Maz?
Well,
Maz, I'm like the other lady. She's in the cemetery now. I'm on 111th out in Wharf, okay. Wharf, Illinois. But if I was going to her originally house, she was in Payless, so I would drive through the expressway out to Archer to 131st Street, out to Wolf.
That's good. Okay, all right. I'll ask you another question here. Welcome to Portillo's. May I take your order?
Hot dog, everything.
Hot dog, everything.
Fries.
Oh, here's another Sox question. Can you name three White Sox who were banned for life for throwing the 1919 World Series?
One. I can do one, but there, yeah. I did
one. No, I can't.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
I'm not good on the history. I just like the Sox versus the Cubs.
Okay. All right, awesome,
more of a
man.
South Side identity thing, it sounds like.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask you the same question. One last question. How much money does the guy get for his beat-up car in the Victory Auto Records commercial?
Yeah, I thought it was $100.
Yeah, it's not $100.
$50.
Yeah.
It's not 50. You're guessing around. I like it.
Yeah,
though.
You're getting closer. All right.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
I like Tim's accent.
Yeah.
He's got that gravelly kind of south side accent. I
still got Joe in the lead here.
Yeah, Joe piled it on thick.
Yeah, he did.
Like he does with the sausage.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. Oh, okay. Patrick, you ready to do the Chicago accent challenge?
I am indeed.
All right. Where are you from, man? What's your parish?
Northwest side. I'm over by Norwood Park.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Which one?
I'm a block from Superdog.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I mean, it's which parish? But Superdog itself is a church or is a religion of its own. So
Superdog is a parish, right?
Yeah, so we'll call that your parish, Superdog.
Let me ask you a question, a sports question. How's that sound, Patrick?
I'm in, kid.
Who said he was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan? He played in the Bulls in the late 70s.
Bob Love? Butterbean, number 10?
No. That's good. Someone with a bigger ego than that.
Bigger ego and a bigger haircut. Yeah. All right. Let me ask you another one. I got a couple letters here. 875 North Michigan Avenue. What's that address?
It's a Hancock.
Yeah! Didn't they change their name?
They're trying to, right? They haven't gotten
there. Right, they're trying to.
They're going
to
call it Best Buy Building or something like that?
Or I thought they were naming it after somebody from Boston.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing something like that. All right, okay. And then let me ask you the same. How much money does the guy who's selling his beat-up car in the Victory Auto Records commercial get?
I swear to God, you guys, I thought it was $35. You know, maybe 50, but it was low. And the door falls off, and it's Dean
Richards.
He
got lowballed. Yeah, no one's gonna give you even $100 for a car with no door on it.
He's got that big wide watch band.
Yeah,
like you know.
He got just enough. He got just enough money to buy a new hot comb to feather his hair.
I love it. All right, awesome. Thank you very much, Patrick.
Good job, Patrick. Buddy.
Thank you, you guys. Take care.
Right, take care. That was fun. 312-981-7200. All right, we'll take our break here. We come back. We got some people on the line. Vito's on the line. I want to get to it. And we will continue here on the download, the Chicago Accent Challenge. 312-981-7200. Right. Having so much fun, Ted. So much fun.
Great show.
Favorite act of Benny, favorite drink of Bulls, Bears, Hawks, Sox, Bulls, play a little poker, spend time with the wife, take her out to Bennigan's, see if they cook chops right, go and get a Laserdisc, projection screen TV, Portillo's Italian beef, and a movie star Tommy B, back in the damn Buick, cut on WCKG, caught a song by Glenn Fry and an interview with Denny, so I'm driving down Western Avenue, think I'm gonna stop at Zayers.
I love it, Serengeti, that's one of my favorite songs. Denny, of course, find that and download it on your local iTunes. Ted McClellan, in studio. He is the author of How to Speak Midwestern. It's the Chicago Accent Challenge. And we are almost done tonight. We still have some people on the line. We're going to get to them. But, I mean, unbelievable night. There is some unbelievable accents to to parse through. I should say you can call back if you didn't win the last time, Joe. Yeah. You can try. I think Kathy did that early on. Yeah, she tried a couple times.
I don't think she ever won though, did she?
She didn't, but no. I liked it. She had like a Naperville kind of Chicago accent. Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Vito.
She's got spunk.
Vito, welcome to Chicago Accent Challenge. You ready to challenge?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Vito. Vito knows.
We got a real ringer here.
All right, Vito, what parish are you from?
Yeah, no, Jewish guy, Northside.
Oh, there we go. All right. Okay. There, now we perked up.
Jewish guy named Vito. That's...
Yeah, yeah. I work for Streets and Sand.
Okay.
City worker.
Okay.
Okay.
Drive a truck.
Okay. Drive a truck. Vito, how do you get the Maz?
You call your guys, the boys.
Yeah.
You call the boys?
Mm-hmm. Call the boys. They take care of the situation.
Okay, there you go. Let me ask you a question. All right, here we go. For the money...
I'm sorry, $25, the commercial.
No, that's...
$25.
That's a little low.
That's low. Yeah. Okay. All right, I got one for you. Ready, Vito? This is a new one. You ready?
Ready.
It's in the news today. The former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich, he had said famously that he had a Senate seat. He didn't want to give it away because it was... blank
the,
and
the
what?
Normal thing, the normal thing to do.
That's not even close. Like, it's not even in the same area. Vito.
Repeat the question.
One more question, Vito. Welcome to Portillo's. Can I take your order?
You give me a combo, extra hot, dipped, peppers, fries, and a shake.
And a shake. There you go. Chocolate cake. All right. All right. Thanks, Vito. Appreciate it. Good job, buddy. That was great. He didn't have any idea what was happening. I love it, though. Steve, you ready to play the Chicago Accent Challenge?
Did Vito say he is a Jewish guy from the North Side?
Yeah, that's
what he said. And he drives a truck for Streets and Sand. Something doesn't fit.
His name is Vito.
Yeah.
His name is Vito. Okay.
Hey, you know, hey.
By the way, was Norm Van Leer the bull?
No, but close.
No.
Although, I don't even think they played on the same team.
I don't know. I think Norm Van Leer was earlier.
We have a celebrity special guest judge in the studio, Patty Vasquez.
Hi, Patty.
I'm just itching because I'm like, has anybody named any of the Black Sox yet? That's what
We're trying to get people named the Southside Hitmen.
Joe Jackson is the obvious one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that I know, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Do you have them, Patty? You know?
I think I know all of them.
Wow.
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 I think I do. I might be missing one. I'm not going to let's wait till the end of the show. Okay. Let's wait.
Well, can you name any of the Southside Hitmen?
All right, let me ask you this, Steve. What parish are you from, Steve?
St. Catherine of Genoa, 118th and Low.
Okay, there you go. Great. How do you get the Maz?
My Ma? My Ma now lives in Huntley with a lot of other Ma's.
Okay.
But she used to live in Palos.
Okay. That's good. Palos is good.
Okay.
I got a good question for you. This is a new one. You ready for this?
You mean when I was going to go buy my Ma?
How do you get there?
Yeah, how do you go buy
what do you take?
Go buy your Ma.
Go buy your Ma.
Yeah, that's what we should be asking. Yeah, how do you go buy your Ma?
No, you should get a pizza just for that.
Yeah.
That's how it should have been said. You're right. Buy your Ma.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, I got a good one for you. What's the name of the supreme deity in the Bible?
God?
Yeah. Right,
there we go. That's good.
It's God.
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 God?
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you one more. So Blagojevich is in the news. Blagojevich said that he famously said that he had the Senate seat and it was blank in what?
Gold.
Close enough. Yeah.
Golden. Yeah.
And he's not going to give it away for
blanket. Did you listen to the tape? The tape said gold, not golden.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. You didn't listen to the tape.
I haven't listened to the tape. I mean, I would think that that would have been
a book about it called Golden, so... I assume they listen to the tape.
What do they know?
I don't know. Maybe
there you go. What do they know? Hey, let me tell you something.
All right, and then I'll give you one more here to let you go. 1901 West Madison Street. What's that address?
1901 West Madison, the stadium?
Well, as it used to be called.
Yeah, there you go. Chicago. Good job.
Yeah.
That was awesome, man. Good job. Appreciate it, Steve.
All right.
Steve was great.
And he fixed the question I've been asking online. I've been asking it wrong.
Yeah.
How do you go? How do you? You got to go buy your Ma's.
How do you go by your Ma? How do you go by Ma's?
You got to go buy
Ma's. And he knew the name of the star of the Bible.
Patty, what parish are you from?
Well, it's funny that you asked because our friend who said he lived near Superdog, I believe he's in the St. Tecla Parish.
Oh, okay.
So that would be my parish as well.
St. Tecla. Okay. All right, let me ask you a couple questions.
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
Let me do the Victory Auto Wreckers.
You know, I sold my 76 Toyota Corolla for $40, so I have that stuck in my head as how much it gets in that.
It's close.
Nobody's got it. It's like $38.
They're just sort of circling around it.
It's circling around it. We don't give it away.
The Price is Right.
That's right. 5700 South Lakeshore Drive.
Museum of Science and Industry.
Yeah.
She's too good. She's a ringer. All right. What do you want?
I don't get sausage on my pizza. That's all I'm going to tell
you.
You're so good. 100 West Randolph.
Oh.
The Field Museum?
State of Illinois.
No.
Building.
Yes.
Thompson Center.
See, I don't know Randolph.
Yeah. All right.
I was surprised I had MSI, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And then I can ask you, who said he was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan? Late 70s Bull.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know the Bulls. I got the White Sox ones. All I got the Black Sox.
Yeah,
that one I'm itching.
Can you name any Southside Hitmen?
No. Is it Frank? Is it Hurt? Thomas?
No. He came along much later.
Yeah, I don't know who this is.
These were in 1977.
There you go. All right, Ted McClellan is here. Ted, so we've got two categories. We've got men and women. We're also giving away.
Yeah, we need to get some more. We had a lot of guys all in a row here. We need some more.
Well,
women.
We've got the connect. We're done here. We're gonna stay on time and finish this up. So we're gonna give one from
Lefty
the,
Williams, Eddie Cicotte. Swede Riseberg.
Yeah.
Hap Felsch.
Wow.
Shoeless Joe Jackson. Yeah. Bucky Weaver. What?
Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
Chick Gandel, who was one of the ringmen of that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
You should read Joe Knowles' book where they do a whole thing. That's amazing. That's great.
How many times have you seen Eight Men Out?
Wonderful.
Well, it's not that. My dad really loved Shoeless Joe Jackson.
I mean,
he had a .375 batting average during the series and only one questionable throw during that.
Oh, my gosh.
And he waited for hours outside of Comiskey's office to tell him it was going down.
The story that was in this book, which was really interesting, was that there was a lot of throwing baseball at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And the Sox kind of became the poster child for that. But they never really looked into who the year before and the year after. And there's some questionable stuff that wasn't White Sox related. So the White Sox go down in history, but every team at that time was doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Very
just saying.
Chicago of me to be hey. Like, just All saying. Right. But
and Shoeless Joe still has number three in hits at Cooperstown, is all I'm saying.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, so the giveaway is Lou Malnati's gift certificate. You find 40-plus Chicagoland locations for Lou Malnati's, and we got two of them to give away. So tonight on the men's side, let's start with the women. We have Lulu, Sherry, Susan, and Sandy. I like Sherry because she said, I just love that line where she said, my pizza, I don't get nothing but double cheese.
All right, we'll give it to Sherry on that
All right, Sherry,
so on the
you're men, in.
On the men's, I'm between Joe and Steve.
So Steve was at the end because he gave us the Buy Your Ma, and he was very good. But Joe gave us sausage, and he also gave us the
Over by Dare,
like
without
18
even
times.
Being prompted. So I guess we'll give it to Joe.
All right, we'll Joe give, from
we'll
Oak Park
Steve
River Forest.
A special shout out for
Steve. You're in our hearts
for telling us about God. And
God.
And for letting us know, we should be asking people, how do you go over by Ma's?
Yeah, over by Ma's. You got to go over by Ma's. How do you get there? Ted McClellan, the book is How to Speak Midwestern. He joins us when we are working around the White Sox schedule to get you on here. We'll do another one coming up here. Ted, great to see you, buddy.
Great to see you, Justin.